The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Friday, August 14th, Kathy's out, so I will handle the duties. We'll begin with this story. Citing a warning by the U.S. Postal Service about its delivery times, Governor Tom Wolf's administration is asking the state Supreme Court to extend deadlines for mail-in ballots to be received in the November election, when Pennsylvania will be a premier presidential battleground. The filing, submitted after hours Thursday to the state's highest court, cited a letter dated July 29th by the General Counsel of the U.S. Postal Service, Thomas Marshall. In it, Marshall warns that Pennsylvania's mail-in ballot deadlines are incongruous with the Postal Service's delivery standards, as he recommended that voters mail in their ballots a week before the deadline for it to be received and counted. That deadline, under current law, is the close of polls on Election Day, November 3rd at 8 p.m. But Wolf's administration pointed out that state law allows voters to apply for a mail-in ballot up until a week before the deadline, never mind mail it in. And it was stated, Wolf's administration lawyers wrote in a 13-page filing to state it simply, voters who apply for mail-in ballots in the last week of the application period and return their complete ballot by mail will, through no fault of their own, likely be disenfranchised. As a result, Wolf's administration is asking the state Supreme Court to order that ballots postmarked by 8 p.m. November 3rd be counted if they are valid and received during the 3 days following the election.
I think I can expand on this story, Preston. One of my favorite field trips as a kid was to a mail sorting center.
Oh, so. Should have had to have been. Exciting.
It was really cool.
Ballots
back to you.
Ballots received during those 3 days, but lack a postmark or legible proof of mailing should also be counted, the administration's lawyers wrote. So we'll see where that goes. A part-time Delaware County police officer is accused of sending sexually explicit text messages to an underage girl. 21-year-old Justin Hazelden of Havertown turned himself into authorities on Thursday. He's charged with one misdemeanor count of corruption of a minor. Authorities said Hazelden was employed as a part-time officer with the Upland Police Department when the messages were exchanged. On July 17th, Delaware County District Attorney's Office was contacted by the Department of Children and Youth Services, who said a minor was receiving sexually explicit messages from Hazelden. And the messages have been brought to the attention of Children and Youth Services by an attorney who was working on an unrelated matter that had caused him to examine the contents of the minor's cell phone, the DA's office had said. After interviewing the attorney, authorities spoke to the minor. According to the district attorney, the girl told authorities that she received the text messages through Snapchat. Hazelden was then interviewed and admitted to authorities that he had sent and received the text messages. He had turned himself in to the media courthouse with his attorney and was arraigned, and bail is set at $50,000 unsecured.
When they're talking about part-time, is that classically what you call an auxiliary police officer?
I don't know. I don't even know what part-time officer means.
Yeah, because I know that for the longest time there were people who became auxiliary police officers.
Okay, so I also have other questions about the range of authority,
right?
Officers have, because right. What I always look for when I see an officer that is on a bike or just I'm like, is he carrying a gun?
right. Are you an officer?
Yeah. Are you an officer? Or you just got like a cool badge?
But in this case, I don't know. When you go and you see what I would classically refer to as an auxiliary police officer,
right,
like at a picnic event or something like that.
Right. Is he picked up for special events?
When you said part-time cop, I wondered what constitutes that. Yeah.
Got me.
Yeah, so some of those police officers can do side work. They get hired for that. But then there's also security companies.
All right.
And then I think those level of security company employees may carry weapons and may not.
Right. But this guy worked for the police department. So,
yeah.
And then finally, the Pentagon is forming a new task force to investigate UFOs that have been observed by U.S. military aircraft, according to two defense officials. Deputy Secretary of Defense David Norquist will help oversee the task force, which is expected to be officially unveiled in the next few days, according to the officials. Previous efforts to look into what the Pentagon dubs unidentified aerial phenomena were led by the U.S. Navy, as many of the documented encounters involved their aircraft. The Department of Defense did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Members of Congress and Pentagon officials have long expressed concerns about the appearance of the unidentified aircraft that have flown over U.S. military bases, posing a risk to military jets. There is no consensus on their origin, with some believing they may be drones potentially operated by earthly adversaries seeking to gather intelligence rather than extraterrestrials.
I watched a two-hour special. It was on the History Channel, and they had this caucus of UFO experts. And who's sitting there at the table? Tom DeLonge.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
That's his thing.
That's
now.
His thing, man. Yeah. And I mean, man, he knows his stuff.
Do you guys take it seriously?
Do you roll your eyes at this, or are you intrigued by
both? I believe the universe is incredibly expansive. And I think we asked Neil deGrasse Tyson, he says, you know, sure, but I think. I don't know what to think, damn it.
Watch
the History Channel. It'll convince you.
I watched this documentary on, and it's even weird to call it a documentary. It's basically this woman in, I think, Canada has like 30,000 feet of footage of what she sees. Are, you know, and they are UFOs.
They're unidentified flying objects. Exactly. And so are they alien in nature? That's where I'm not sure.
Yeah.
If you're wondering what I believe that there is intelligent life elsewhere in this universe. I don't think we will ever, in the history of this entire planet, ever connect with them because it's just too big.
They said there'd never be a tasty decaffeinated coffee. And we had
Sanka. It's true. There's lots of them. Yeah. Sanka.
Never had Sanka.
Neither have I.
Is it? Oh.
I don't know.
If you like drinking.
I've had tasty decaf, though, so he's right.
Yeah. Okay. If in the morning you like the notion of waking up to a piping hot cup of Sacrete, then that's Sanka's for you.
The Senate Intelligence Committee voted in June to have the Pentagon and intelligence community provide a public analysis of the encounters following the official Pentagon release of three short videos showing U.S. aircraft encountering the phenomenon. So they're gonna have a new task force to look into that stuff. All right, it's sports this morning. Ball sacks are yummy. All right, the Phils' bullpen continued to disappoint yesterday.
What
they allowed
is this?
Seven runs in the final three innings as they lost 11-4 to the Orioles. The Phils will look to rebound tonight as rookie Spencer Howard takes the mound against the New York Mets. That'll be at 7:05. Sixers are playing pretty much a meaningless game against the Houston Rockets. 9:00 tonight as their playoff opponent and schedule is already set in stone. Sixers will face the Celtics at 6:30 p.m. on Monday to open up their playoff series in the bubble in Orlando. And the Flyers will face off against Canadiens in Game 2 of their playoff series today at 3 p.m.
Woo!
That is cool.
It's good for us.
Yeah.
For people like us. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. It never happens. So for early workers like us, that's kind of nice. The Flyers lead that series 1-0. Game 3 is going to take place on Sunday. That will be 8 p.m. in Toronto. And there you go. That's what I have for news and sports this morning. And that's the last time I have to do it because Kathy is going to be back on Monday.
Yeah.
She will take over the duties once again. Welcome to Friday morning. And we give away the Word of the Week prize, which is tickets for you and three friends to see Bert Kreischer live on Sunday. It's the live-in, drive-in concert series, Citizens Bank Park. Bert will be in town, and Bert will also be on the show today.
Yes.
We will talk to him about the show coming up on Sunday. I mean, we had him on not that long ago, but since he's coming in town, let's just, and the show is sold out. He doesn't have to, but he's going to give us a call.
What kind of prep work do you think he does before a show? What is his end leading up, the 48 hours leading up to a show?
I would say lots of beer.
Lots of beer.
Exactly.
Pretty much it. Yeah.
Pretty much it. I don't know. You know, maybe we can ask him about
that.
What is prep for a show like this for him? Now, we're also going to have another friend on the program. Todd Glass is getting in touch with us this morning. We haven't talked to Todd in a little while.
It's funny, throughout the pandemic, I will periodically find myself thinking, I wonder what Todd Glass is doing.
Yeah.
And now we can find out.
That's right. Yeah. We can. Where his neurotic mind is and what he's all about. But he's got a brand new Netflix special that's 2 years old.
Yeah.
He's going to be telling us.
He likes to age him a little bit, like a wine or a cheese.
But he actually got a part in a new HBO series coming up. So we'll talk to him about that, too, and just see what's going on. So those guys are on in the 9 o'clock hour. And in the meantime, we're just going to have a good time. That's about it. Oh, by the way, a few texts coming in about part-time police officers. Somebody was saying they work on an as-needed basis and do not have medical benefits.
Okay.
They are real police. They have the authority. They just work part-time hours.
So is that, to my initial question, is there specifically an auxiliary police force that is not, that are not actual police officers?
That I don't know.
Okay.
That are not police officers.
Right. Mm-hmm. That are trained to be like, auxiliary police.
Like citizens on patrol?
Like,
right.
Like Bobcat Goldthwait and David Spade. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break, and we'll get into the entertainment news. Stupid question, give some stuff away. Stay with us on this kind of foggy, hazy Friday morning. We'll keep you company. We'll be your beacon on the way in this morning. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question prize this morning is a carload of up to four people to see Steel Panther. And they are playing at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th. So the question that I have for you this morning has to do with dynamite.
Yes.
All right. So there
Love
are
dynamite.
Three main ingredients. No, this is not dynamite. It's gunpowder.
Oh.
Sorry, gunpowder.
Well, I like that, too.
So there are three main ingredients in gunpowder. Potassium nitrate, which is also known as saltpeter. Charcoal, and what other ingredient?
All right.
What's that third ingredient? There are three main ingredients in gunpowder. Potassium nitrate, charcoal, and what? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. And I will mention some birthdays while we're waiting for that answer. Friday, August 14th, Halle Berry celebrates her birthday today.
Man.
Yeah, she's got a stalker. He loves her.
Yeah, she was my first, and I moved on a little bit, but man, I always have a soft spot in my heart for her.
Yeah, she is celebrating her 54th birthday today.
She was actually my longest free pass with my wife.
Right, I remember.
Yeah, for the longest
time.
I still think she's pretty stellar.
Yeah,
but yeah, she was the one for the longest time. And we were talking about John Wick the other day. She was sensational in the third Parabellum movie.
David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, Nash, is 79 years old. Should have been dead many times over.
Yeah.
And he's great in that documentary about Laurel Canyon, you know, Echoes in the Canyon. It's about that whole scene with Buffalo Springfield and Crosby, Stills, Nash. And he is very candid. He's very funny. And he's talking about his reputation. He says, you know, well, maybe people were saying, well, maybe they were difficult to work with. And he goes, no, it was me. I was an a-hole.
He turned 79 years old today. Magic Johnson is 61. We all thought that he was going to die back in the 90s when he was diagnosed with AIDS.
I remember just sinking in my chair when I heard that news. It was like devastating. Yeah. And then when you heard years later that it's basically undetectable in his blood system right now. Yeah, it's amazing.
61 years old today. A lot of big birthday names. Steve Martin.
Oh.
And he turned 75. So a big one for Steve Martin today.
One of the absolute geniuses, comedically, one of the absolute best. He just participated in a Lifetime Achievement Award ceremony for Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
And it was him and Martin Short. And they're all, that whole collective, they all hang out and they're best buds. But
We have a clip of him talking about, by the way, this is from The Jerk. This is a really sweet moment in the movie. Do we have the clip of him talking about Eugene Levy?
We should, yeah.
Okay, hang on a second.
It was from a couple of days ago.
All right.
But you know what?
It was the Newport Film Festival Life Achievement Award or something
like
that.
Wait, that's Martin Short. That wasn't Steve Martin.
There is Steve Martin as well.
Steve Martin should be in there as well, yes. By the way, speaking of his career, and for the longest time, I just I absolutely adored the movie Roxanne. I just thought it was
excellent.
Yeah. Well, it's the Cyrano de Bergerac story.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought it was great. And then one of my all-time favorites from him, and I still love watching this movie, is Bowfinger. Oh, my God. I think it is such an underrated movie.
It's a
that
great movie.
That movie cracks me up.
So if you talk about the roster that we love, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Oh, man.
The
man, Lonely Guy.
The Lonely Guys. And the one that a lot of people don't know, The Jerk.
Yep.
So you
Man
go
with Two Brains.
Man with Two Brains is great. There's just a ton of great stuff that he did. A movie that is not a typical Steve Martin movie, Pennies from Heaven. Did you see that?
I never did, no.
So it's sort of a darker, nostalgic throwback to the Busby Berkeley kind of films.
Yeah.
With these big fantasy dance numbers, but it's he's really good.
Parenthood. I mean, it goes on and
I love Parenthood.
Here's him talking about Eugene Levy.
But you know, Eugene, you're special because you are a person. You know, I see people all the time on the street, sometimes in crowds, sometimes alone, and I think Eugene could be walking down that street. He is a person. He's a person too. And I happen to know that the Newport Beach Film Festival wanted to give this to a person.
So there you go. I love it. Happy 75th to him. Marcia Gay Harden. Actress. She's been here in our studio. I always kind of had a little bit of a crush on her.
Yeah, yeah.
Movies like Pollock, she won, she won an Oscar for that, Best Supporting Actress. Mystic River, bunch of stuff. Space Cowboys.
Yes.
61. Gary Larson, creator of The Far Side, recently put out some new stuff.
Yeah. How long was he hibernating?
Oh, my God.
It was like a decade?
Longer than that.
Yeah.
He quit doing it around, I want to say, Steve, 94.
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. Because I remember when he retired, he quit for a long time. But recently, has resurfaced. But genius. He's 70 years old today. Danielle Steele, the novelist.
When I worked at the Beat Alton Bookstore in Bayshore, Long Island, those books. Oh my god! When they would come out, there would be packs of women waiting to get these books.
Yeah, 73 today. Mila Kunis turns 37 years old. That 70s show is where we got to know her. Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I thought was just an awesome breakout.
I just watched it the other day.
Oh, my God.
You know, so it's a movie that she's good in but is terrible, and yet I watch it every time. It's one of those horrible movies that you watch all the time.
Yeah.
Jupiter
Ascending.
Oh, my God, it's horrible.
So she's 37 today. Dash Crofts, Steve. And to be honest, I never knew his first name was Dash of Seals and Crofts.
I didn't know that.
Dash Crofts is his name, and of course,
Summer Breeze makes me feel fine, blowing hints of jasmine through my mind.
He's 80.
Look at him. There's a picture of him. He looks like Kenny Rogers.
Wow, he does. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
Not unless he's the woman.
Makes me feel fine.
They had the longest hair. Remember that? There was a thing.
My mind.
Did they do Moonshadow as well?
They covered Moonshadow?
No, that was
Cat Stevens.
Yeah,
yeah.
What did they had other hits, and I don't remember what they were though. Seals and Crofts. All right. Anyway, he's 80 today. Antonio Fargas, who played Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch and Doc on Everybody Hates Chris, is turning 74 years old today.
I think he's in Gonna Get You, Sucker, or Undercover Brother.
Okay.
But he plays a pimp who's in prison for a super long time. He's released, and he's still wearing his clothes from the early 70s.
That's great.
And he's got shoes with goldfish.
Nice.
Oh, in the heels here.
74 today. Catherine Bell.
Mm. Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
She's
oh.
outstanding. And it was so funny because she was on that show, Jag, and I never knew how gorgeous she was until she did, I forgot what magazine.
FHM?
No, it was Stuff, I think.
Okay.
But anyhow, she did a spread, and we were like, that's the same person? Stunning. Bruce Almighty, Army Wives, she's 52, and then last birthday I saw is Tim Tebow, and Tim turns 33 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Which is, there are three main ingredients in gunpowder: potassium nitrate, charcoal, and what is the third one? 215-263-WMMR. And I am going to go to Craig for the answer. Yo, Craig, good morning.
Yo, good morning, Wieners. What's up?
Yo, Wiener. Looking for that third item that is in gunpowder. What is it?
I think it's sulfur.
Sulfur, yes. Yeah. Hang on a second, Craig. We're going to give you a carload pass for up to four people to see Steel Panther at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Saturday, September 12th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but gunpowder, a Chinese invention, yes?
I was assumed it was.
Yes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I believe so. All right, so we're going to start with Cuba Gooding Jr. His defense team asked a judge on Thursday to let them grill his alleged sexual assault victim about her preference for threesomes and her small breasts. This is according to attorney Peter Tombekas. He said this accuser speaks very comfortably on her blog post about her desire and interest and preference to be in a menage a trois rather than a monogamous relationship. The 30-year-old accused the Men of Honor star of squeezing her breast at the Moxie Hotel in Times Square in 2019. Gooding has denied the allegations. Now, the assistant DA, Jenna Long, argued that the questions would be barred via the rape shield law, adding that the line of questioning is simply offensive. But Tombekas argued that it is a philosophical decision and has nothing to do with her sexual history. The judge wanted more information for determining if the line of questioning would be relevant. The judge asked, "Do you intend to ask the witness about the size of her breast?" Tombekas said, "I actually do." She talks about the fact that she's self-conscious about her breast size. She's self-conscious about her hairstyle.
When I went to get my license renewed, they asked me about the size of my penis, and I found that very invasive. Oh, that
is weird. By the way, who isn't self-conscious about their hairstyle or breast size? So he said of her blog post that he added that her low self-esteem makes her misperceive what she says Gooding did. Mm-hmm. The judge was not convinced. The judge said, "I don't see how you connect A to B. And now I'm giving you an order not to do it." So they're not going to allow them to ask the questions. Gooding and his team.
It's wild that this is still. That seems like that started 10 years ago, that freaking deal with when the footage was released and we were talking about it.
Yeah. Gooding and his team were leaving the courthouse. A reporter asked, "Are women with small breasts delusional, as your lawyer argues?" Gooding removed his face mask, revealing a Black Lives Matter sign on the inside, but didn't say anything. 22 women have accused him of misconduct. He has pleaded not guilty to 6 sex abuse charges. The next hearing is set for September 1st. Fashion designer Michael Costello took Kylie Jenner to task in the comment section of her birthday post that was lauding Olivier Rousteing, who had designed a dress that she wore in it. In the post, she said, "Thank you, my love." And then she tagged him on it for the most perfect B-Day dress. Many of her 189 million Instagram followers,
189 million,
praised the bejeweled mini that she was wearing. But Costello had other thoughts. He wrote, "Thank you, Olivier, for the perfect B-Day dress. And thank you to the no-name designers who work tirelessly around the clock on custom looks who she won't tag, mention, or at." Unless it's paid. He continued saying, "And thank you to the glam team who always gets tagged no matter what. This post has nothing to do with me, as Kylie only wears something for me once a year, and I'm lucky if I get a decent pic to post. No shade to any of her team who styles her, and no shame to the glam team."
Mm-hmm, the glam team.
"Even though we know you cannot wait to unfollow me and drag me for filth."
Wow. Man, it gets catty in the fashion world.
Plus, he said, "But it's sad that designers work so hard on these opportunities to dress these gorgeous popular women, and they only tag the major high-end designers like Olivia, but forget about the other ones. This has nothing to do with my brand, but it definitely has a lot to do with the LA designers. Why not tag at least one? Not all the time, but maybe once in a while."
Shut the up!
Now, it seems that Costello's points were heard loud and clear, as it has received 2,000-plus likes, but others called him out. Wrote one, "She purchased the dress, and if she tags you or not, doesn't matter. Just be happy and move on. Doing things this way is not it."
For reals.
That's actually legit. You buy it. You're not.
You can talk about it.
You have paid for the service to receive that item of clothing.
Fabulous.
You don't have to tag unless you just want.
I'm still wrapping my mind around 189 million people. What are there, 330 31 million people in the country currently.
Yeah, something around
189 million of them follow her.
Well, yep. They're not just Americans that are
following
her.
Yeah, they're all over the world.
They're all over the world.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And part of it is they make money off of these other accounts that they tag. So there's accounts called Like It to Know It. So if you are wearing a dress and you have that, and then somebody pretty much buys it through your link, you make money off of that. Like, the ways through that people are making money off of this.
Do you realize how much money we could be making just by what we wear, Preston?
I know.
Right?
All my superhero t-shirts and stuff like that.
All my Delco t-shirts.
Yeah.
All three of you are pretty stellar with your t-shirts.
Unbelievable, yeah.
You're trendsetters.
We do what we can. Nick Cannon has denied reports that he plans to file a $1.5 billion lawsuit against Viacom CBS for the rights of his show Wild and Out. So it's apparently not happening, according to TMZ. Nick's rep said that the reports are inaccurate, and he is currently focused on bringing people together and fighting bigotry, racism, and hate. As previously reported, Viacom CBS severed ties with him after comments that were deemed anti-Semitic on his podcast. Now, in other news, Jessica White revealed on Instagram that she and Nick are no longer together. She wrote, "Someone who values you would never put themselves in a position to lose you. I'm so blessed. I'm whole."
What the hell does this mean?
"And ready to embrace a single life free from all baggage."
Oh, man.
She's whole again.
First off, I never knew they were together.
I don't even know who she is.
Yeah. Who is she?
I don't know.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
But her name is in bold here.
Yeah,
it says Jessica White, so she must be somebody.
She must be somebody.
I don't even know who the hell you are.
She continued saying, "I wish nothing but the best for Nick Cannon, but truly excited for the next chapter."
Oh, we're so excited for the next chapter in Jessica White's life.
Someone tag Brad Pitt and let him know I'm single, and Mama has an abundance of pure love to give.
LOL.
Ha ha. No. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. A few weeks back, White revealed that she and Nick were together despite the announcement that he was expecting another child with Brittany Bell. Mm. Let's see. These people. Drake Bell. Remember him?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Drake Bell.
Josh and Drake. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he went on to have he's trying to mount a music career.
Yeah. His ex-girlfriend, Melissa Lingefelt, who goes by Jimmy Ono, is speaking out against the star in a TikTok video. She accused the 34-year-old of verbal and physical abuse. I can't believe he's 34 years old.
He seems
like a kid to me.
Yeah, you always think of him looking like a kid. And when you see a picture now where he sort of has the more defined facial features, he lost that sort of like baby fat. It's like, that's not the same guy.
The pair got together in 2006 when she was 16 and being homeschooled. She said that she moved in with him and that a year in, he started verbally abusing her. She said it then turned physical, hitting, throwing, everything. She accused him of dragging her down the stairs in their home at one point during the relationship, which ended in 2009.
Did anything ever come from it legally?
Nothing has come from that legally. Now, he says that he, quote, "never abused my ex-girlfriend or did so many other things that Melissa falsely claimed in her TikTok video. Clearly, Melissa still felt close enough to me last year that she was comfortable reaching out to ask me to provide her with financial support during a tough time, which I did." And he added that he plans to consider legal options in light of the accusations.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I do not know if today's behavior is some kind of misguided quest for more money or attention, but I cannot and will not allow these offensive and defamatory allegations to go unchallenged, and I'm reviewing my legal options." Other women actually are coming forward as well on social media. One said that he slept with her when she was 15 and he was 20. Lingefelt also shared a DM conversation between herself and Bell's ex, Patty Lane Lopachin. I don't know who she is. Lopachin reached out to Lingefelt to say, "I will stand by your side and back you up. I went through the same horrific verbal, physical, and mental abuse." She writes that she was, quote, "manipulated and brainwashed." When Lingefelt replies, "he had sex with hundreds of underage girls," Lopachin answers yes and said, "there were so many days where I thought Melissa went through this and she got out, and he called me a C word and loved to call me a whore." Okay. And then another ex wrote a bunch of stuff about the same type of thing. So I don't know, man. Yeah, that's apparently what she said.
Mel Gibson school of dating.
Yes, exactly. All right, on to lighter news. David Blaine will attempt to float across the Hudson River from New Jersey to New York City while holding on to a bunch of helium-filled balloons later this month in his first large-scale live stunt in nearly a decade.
So I saw him, I guess he was with Stallone on an Instagram post. Did you see this? I know you follow Stallone on Instagram.
No, actually, I don't follow him on Instagram.
I do.
Right. Did you see?
I didn't see that one.
Okay.
No.
So, and I was wondering what the story was, and there was a picture of... Look like a classic picture of a guy holding onto a bunch of balloons and floating away.
Right.
And this is what I guess he's attempting to do.
Yeah, Blaine has partnered with YouTube for this upcoming event titled David Blaine Ascension.
It's going to be very exciting.
And he shared a teaser trailer on Wednesday.
What are you going to do? Live right across the river on a balloon. That's great!
As him and Sly together? Now, here's what he thinks about it.
It stinks!
So, YouTube posted... An anxiety.
You're better than that.
An anxiety inducing.
Pretty balloons! Calm down.
Including a promo shot of a man who could very well be Blaine clutching onto some gigantic balloons with just one arm.
This actually occasionally is a nightmare that I have. Like balloons, you're like with a hot air balloon or something, like, you know.
Really?
And you start going up.
And you just...
Yeah. I like the flying dream where you're able to control your own flying.
Yeah, but...
This sort of thing where you have no control is an occasional nightmare for me.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. You know, did you ever have them before we went up in a hot air balloon together?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So that didn't help, Preston.
Yeah, right?
But I loved God. It. Once we got... But you and I had that look. I looked at your face, and we were both thinking the same thing.
Oh, I was terrified.
This is going
on the way up
way too fast.
Yeah, we shot up to 1,000 feet, and I'm like... We're in a wicker basket, dude.
Uh-huh. We're basically in a large version of the thing you keep your keys in at home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But after he got comfortable,
it was
fantastic. Yeah. It was so romantic. I'll never forget that day.
It was romantic, and I remember the top of my head being so goddamn hot because those flames are shooting above there.
Yep, when they would turn that on, it would get really hot in there. So anyhow, the sight of someone soaring through the sky...
I can see my home.
With the aid of numerous balloons, draws comparisons to the animated film Up, and Blaine acknowledged that his stunt has been 10 years in the making, in a statement which suggests that Up could have inspired him to give us the picture that we saw. So New York City has served as a backdrop for a few of his previous stunts, including the one in 1999 where he was buried in a box under a water tank, and the time he spent 7 days submerged in a water-filled sphere in 2006.
He also did one in Central Park where he stood on a column, right, for a week?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because
he fell off of it. He jumped off of it.
Yeah, he was dating Avril Lavigne at the time.
No, not Avril Lavigne.
He was dating, not Avril Lavigne.
Fiona Apple. Yep,
and
exactly.
And she kept showing up to see that.
Okay.
Just stand there.
The only thing I really care about when these things come about is there going to be a TV special that goes along with it? And usually there is.
You're going to love it. It's going to be great!
Actor Dennis Quaid saw a news report about a cat named Dennis Quaid at the Lynchburg Humane Society in Virginia, and he decided he's going to go get him.
Isn't that great?
Aww. Yeah. The feline...
He had to. He's not adopting the cat Randy Quaid that keeps eating its own crap.
No. Who would want to? Feline Quaid is a 6-year-old black cat who weighs just under 14 pounds. He's a biggie. His Biohumane Society website says, I may not live up to my dramatic and artistic actor namesake. I'd rather watch his movies with you curled up on the couch. And the folks at the society refused to believe that it was the actor actually calling until they got him on Zoom.
Yeah.
And Quaid said he had scheduled a flight from L.A. to pick up his cat. So how great is that?
I think that's so adorable.
Cute. I love it.
I like the cats with proper names. We had a run for a while where all our cats just had proper human names.
All right, we have audio of this. Anthony Michael Hall, the actor. You know,
who's had a couple run-ins.
Yeah, 16 Candles
and
Breakfast Club and so on. Was caught on video cursing out a group of people hanging outside, poolside, at the South Congress Hotel in Austin, Texas. He's a hothead. He's had stuff with his neighbors before.
Oh, he beat down the neighbor or jump on top of him? It was something over a hose?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Whatever the story was, he goes from 0 to 60.
So I have audio of this, and then I have a statement that he put out. So here is, this is him yelling at guests.
So kiss my ass, okay? Because Eddie and his mother and his German father don't give a neither do I, but all three of your opinions. So kiss my ass, okay? You know what? Say your opinions.
You need to
I don't give a, you know what? I'll give a you think about me, Rosie O'Donnell? Okay? You think, so kiss my ass, okay? You're insane for disrespecting me, okay? Because you're out of line.
You're insane.
You're out of line. And their families aren't affected by you and your attitudes. All three of you, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm crazy. Kiss my ass. Film me.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, good. I got you too, okay?
Is that what this hotel? You need to calm down.
The Democratic Party. Kiss my ass.
I wonder what started it. Do you think they were filming him and he didn't like it?
No. As the story goes, he showed up, and I guess he was with a couple other people, maybe family members, and they were playing. He was playing music very loudly.
He was. Okay.
And they asked him to tone it down a bit, and that's when he went off.
Okay.
And then the pool actual people from the hotel. It looks more like a little bit like a hotel motel, but anyway. Yeah. They came out and tried to get him out of the pool, asked him to leave the pool, and he started splashing them.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have the audio of that.
All right, here we go.
You are too small to get on my way. Mike, sir.
Let's go.
Bro, you all three are out of control, and you're disrespectful.
Let's go, Mike. Mike, stop. Let's go.
These people are disrespectful. Yeah, she's filming it.
Let's go, Mike. Please.
Yes. Are these his friends? Tell them just let's
yeah,
go.
I think so. Yeah. That's basically it. Yeah.
Film it,
Mike. Stop.
Okay.
It's funny because you think of that kid in 16 Candles, but he's had a chip on his shoulder. We had him on just recently because he was on Schooled, and he was playing a guidance counselor. I think he was, and he was great. But I mean.
Well, what was his statement? What did he say? What did he have to say for himself?
He said, as a result of a misunderstanding and miscommunication between myself and some hotel guests, the situation needlessly and regrettably escalated. I am deeply sorry for my words and actions and ask for forgiveness from anyone who I may have offended.
You know, when you have known people in your life, Preston, I mean, we all have. If you have to issue one of these in your life, okay. You know, yeah. We all make mistakes.
Right.
He has a steady stream of them.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, the world is trying to tell you something.
You may be the problem.
You could be the problem.
And I've known people like that
who can't see it.
Who are on the wrong side time after time again. And it's like, dude, you need to.
Do you wonder why you always have to do these sort of apologies?
I guess you have to have an aha moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean,
that's a great band, and they can get you through a lot.
They can, yes.
And they take on me.
Take on me. Not other people.
Not the people in the pool. Take me on.
Right. All right, so anyhow, he's apologized. So. Alec Baldwin is calling upon Governor Tom Wolf to help an obese black bear, Dylan, and others like him find a better life. We've talked about this before. Union County Sportsman's Club in Pennsylvania, the Wildlife Animal Sanctuary in Colorado, apparently in January. And now Baldwin himself, on behalf of PETA, wants Wolf to charge the club with neglect. The 62-year-old wrote in a letter obtained by Page Six that, quote, his abusers still haven't been charged with cruelty to animals and neglect over Dylan's mistreatment. An example must be set to help other animals stuck in similarly shoddy situations. He called out Dylan's morbidly obese weight of 857 pounds, which is more than 2.5 times the normal weight of a male Asiatic black bear.
So what's the status and what are they saying at this place?
I don't know.
I remember one of the most depressing things in the world was when I was a teenager, and we visited this place in the Catskills in New York. And they had this, it was like a roadside zoo. And I'm like, I'm never going to one of these places again like that because it is depressing. A lot of times these animals are being abused.
Yep.
Like Tiger King, for example.
Yep. There you go. Exactly. All right. And then one last story. Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, and Sebastian Stan top Netflix's The Devil All the Time, which is based on the novel of the same name by Donald Ray Pollock. Trailer for the film, which shows how a group of sinister figures converge around a young man fighting off evil forces, has dropped. And that film will premiere on September 16th, by the way.
Yeah, we don't get any film openings today, right?
No.
There's nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to move right to the clips.
Okay.
Did you want to do one?
No, Magic Camp opens today, guys. Come on.
On
Disney Plus.
Well, do you want to do it or no? We're just going to do the clips.
I don't have any information on that. A hunter teams up with a local sheriff to help track down a vicious killer who may have kidnapped his daughter in The Silencing. And here, co-star Annabelle Wallace,
Annabelle,
discusses playing dark and complex characters. Here we go.
I definitely am lured by characters that are complex in a way that you'd only admit to understanding in your deep self, because we all make mistakes and we are all flawed. And there's a cathartic element to doing what you do and trying out and airing some truths that maybe you weren't comfortable kind of airing.
The silencing
is now available on demand. Here's the next clip. If you could meet your great-grandparent when they were your age, would you? The film An American Pickle brings that concept to life. And in this clip, star Seth Rogen discusses how a conversation with writer Simon Rich brought this movie to life.
It was all based on the concept that I think is pretty universal, and I know I related to it, where he was like, I had a picture of my grandfather when he was in his late 20s, early 30s. And he's like, I would always look at it and think that if we knew each other when we were the same age, he would hate me. That was really kind of like the inception of the idea. It's like, what if you met your own great grandfather while you were the same age?
Is there some of the
stop it.
You know, just improv that you have been known, come to known as?
I knew you were going to do that.
An American Pickle is streaming now on HBO Max. That was who I was talking to, Seth Rogen, when I asked that question years and years ago.
That does pose an interesting question, though, about that. About, you know, your relatives. You know, what would they think of us now? And you know, I think of, like, you know, I have some memories of my grandfather, and he always seemed to like me. But I'm like, I wonder, you know, in that time frame, would we have anything common, you know, and probably not.
No, definitely not. Yeah. My relatives were all backwards ass country folk.
Yeah.
In the hills of Kentucky. I would not relate with them at all.
Oh, I would love to hang out with my grandmother. She used to run Betts in AC. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And Bet, she was pretty cool.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's the entertainment report for this morning. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Don't forget, a couple of friends on the show. Bert Kreischer
will
be joining us. His show is on Sunday, Citizens Bank Park, and we have a chance for you to win tickets with the Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. And we're also checking in with our good friend Todd Glass. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Why have you asked?
Godsmack. The Killers. Green Day.
We just keep on dreaming.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
So, a week from today, we are going forward with the 15th annual I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. It's going to be different this year because of the pandemic and the restrictions, and so we are splitting it up into three locations instead of one. The Fillmore in Philadelphia, the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, and the FOP Lodge in Northeast. So, here's what we need you to do. We need you to sign up for this. And come out and please support the American Red Cross, because they need the help. All donors get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt. As of yesterday, I think we're only at like 60% capacity, so we've got room for you. We would love for you to come out, and keep in mind social distancing, face masks. There's all kinds of guidelines that are going to be followed, and you will be safe. Everything will be wonderfully, meticulously cared for as far as your safety goes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the Red Cross. They know what they're doing. This is everything that they're about, which is making sure you're going to be safe.
Members of the show will be at different locations, yeah. So we would love to see you. Please come out and help us out with this. So it's 1 week from today, and there's various times by location. So 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is pretty much the window. And we know it's Friday. It's way different than it has been in the past, because we've usually done it on the weekend. But we're asking for your help. So please sign up for this. If you can, you can go to WMMR.com to get the details and also read the eligibility guidelines while you're online.
Well, one of the benefits, too, of doing it this way, because it is a extenuating circumstance, is that throughout the morning we're going to be able to remind you and hit it and then go off to our various locations.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, Pierre is going to do likewise. And we just obviously, we, as you said, you know, we had a wonderful record breaker last year.
Yeah.
Probably not going to do that, but boy, it'd be great to get, you know, to get a nice turnout.
Please come out if you can.
Couple of texts coming in this morning about an event, an incident.
Yeah.
That took place last night. Our good friend Big J Okerson was doing a show. He was at this place called Soul Joel's Comedy Club and Lounge. It's in Royersford. And it's an outdoor place. They've been having comedy shows, and I would like to take calls from anybody who happened to be there and see what took place. Cause, apparently Jay was kind of yanked off stage and there was a big, as Bill Weston would say,
a kerfuffle.
Oh my God. That took place.
Yeah.
There's a kerfuffle in Drofo.
Bit of a kerfuffle.
And so I'd like to hear from witnesses who may have been a part of this thing, but apparently somebody got, I don't know if there were hecklers or unruly members, drunk members or whatever.
Somebody grabbed Big J, I guess?
Yeah. So, well, according to this, Marissa found something online that he was sitting on a stool and somebody yanked the stool from and pulled him off stage and he fell into the crowd. And then Luis Gomez, who was also on the bill, jumped in the fracas, the kerfuffle.
The kerfuffle. Uh-huh. And he added to the kerfuffleness.
And started mixing it up a little bit and going after, I guess it was a guy. I don't know if there were some other people that were involved. I mean, Casey, I think you had read something that...
And I think it was a couple of girls who maybe were offended. Here's the deal.
I don't know exactly.
Jay does a lot of crowd work.
Yes, he
does. He's also filthy dirty. So some people
insanely dirty.
Some people may not understand what they're getting into.
How you don't know. I can see, okay, you're going to wander into a show possibly. Mm-hmm. But this is what he's known for.
Yeah,
I was talking about it yesterday. I was wondering how he does shows out in, like, public, out in a park. Like, mm-hmm. he is so dirty that how is he in a public space?
He's great, though. His dirtiness transcends.
Oh,
I don't care how stuck up you are. He'll get you to come around.
And I usually don't like that sort of humor.
Yeah.
He cracks me up.
And his crowd work, as Casey said, is just... It's just on. If you don't know what crowd work is, it's essentially just talking with members of the audience and riffing and going with whatever. It's all improv, whatever comes up at the time. And Jay is a master at it.
We had him perform at our. It was a Fat Tuesday.
I think so.
Oh yeah,
at Club Risque.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, I don't. I'm performing at a strip club." He killed that.
Oh my God, he was hilarious.
So good.
I'll never forget it. All right, let me get 215-263-WMMR if you happen to have been there last night and know exactly what happened. Jamie was there. Says it was in the front row. Jamie, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Oh, Jamie. I'm sorry. Female Jamie. Hi, Gadzooks to you, Jamie.
Yes. My fiancé and I and our friends were there. And let me just tell you, this was bananas. And just to give you perspective, the family behind us was the young lady who got, quote-unquote, offended. She was definitely imbibing. There was a lot of alcohol involved. Her father kept coming up to sit with us because he was embarrassed about all the things that she was yelling out.
She was heckling.
Yeah. His own daughter. Yeah. All right. So what? Tell us, did this start right away or was it deep into a set when she started being vocal?
It was pretty much into a set, and it didn't just start like with him. Like, she was shouting out. There was a lot of, stuff back and forth. I think she said a couple things to Lewis, and the thing was she kept saying stuff that was ammo. Like, if you're a fan of Big J, you got to know that anything you give him, he's going to use.
Oh yeah,
yep.
And it's a compliment. You should be complimented when a comic comes at you.
Sure. Okay. And so, at what point did it turn? What pushed it?
My gosh. So it was just bananas. It was crazy. So she kept going on and on. I don't want to, speak about somebody and they can't defend themselves.
Right.
But she was setting him up. She was setting it up and he was knocking him down. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I think it was her mom and her sister escorted her out of there. And she's shouting. She's like, "I'll fight anybody in this room." Whatever.
Oh, no.
When you hear the, I'll fight, you're a crumb bum.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like, you crumb free.
Yeah. And so they go out, so they escort her out. What happens after that?
Yeah, her family escorted her out, but that wasn't when the fight broke out. Her brother, before I know it, I'm sitting there on the ground minding my own business. her brother throws a bag of chips. I think there's free chips being handed out because I'm just enjoying myself. Yep. And he walks up to Jay like he's going to, like, you know, do something about it. And Jay's calm, cool, professional, collected. Next thing I know, the guy is yanking on Jay's, like, pulling Jay off the stage. The crowd descends. Jay's fine, thank God. And people are just mauling this guy. I'm trying to get the people that were in front of me away from them because I don't want a young lady catching a haymaker.
Where's security at this point? I mean,
yeah, did anybody from the establishment make their way over there?
No, like the security guys jumped in, but it was an outdoor, it was just this, like, this teeny little man-made beach outdoor venue. It's not like they were stacked with security. They jumped in. But it doesn't matter that they jumped in or not. The crowd was right there. I mean, I was less than 10 feet from Jay.
So, Jamie, all the comics. Jamie, so all the big Jay supporters, obviously a lot of fans sitting there want to support Jay. They jump in, and they start going at this guy.
Yep, they were, like, it was bad. I was scared. My fiancé actually had stepped away just before, so I'm like, oh, my God, he's a big Jay guy. Please don't get in this fight. He wasn't, thank God. It was insane. And I actually got to say goodbye to Jay at the end of the night. We hung out. We were one of the last people to leave. And I got to say hi to him. We got a picture with him, and we made sure he was fine. But it was like, come on, man. Like, if you have thin skin, don't go to a comedy show. And if you really have thin skin, don't give them ammo to use against you. It's just not going to work out.
We're watching footage now. We're seeing it.
Oh, yeah. The dude attacked him from behind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He runs up and knocks him off the stage. Wow.
Yeah, it was.
What a coward.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, made for an entertaining evening, right, Jamie?
Oh my gosh! Like, we've been on lockdown. We came and we had our little section where we were all safe. We brought Wawa hoagies. We were gonna have ourselves a nice evening, and we did. Like, shout out to all the comics, Lewis and Jay. Like, they were amazing. And it's sad. Like, at the end of the day, it's just sad that these guys were trying to do a good thing for all of us. And somebody, you know, who can't hold their liquor ruined part of it.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Wow.
yeah. All right, thanks, Jamie. I appreciate it. Listen, it happens from time to time. There are people, and this is not just at comedy clubs, you know, because there's a-holes in pretty much almost any public situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if there's booze involved. But I've been at comedy shows where somebody just does a running commentary when the comedian is on stage doing their routine, telling these jokes that they've worked on, and they just comment out loud over and over to no one in particular, just out loud. I'm like, you're ruining this for
like
me,
it's
man.
A participatory event. Mm-hmm. And
who has that disconnect?
That's why we're blessed to have the comedy clubs that we have here, because they will jump on people and eject them because you're ruining it. You paid money. You know, it's not cheap a lot of times.
Yeah.
And just now as we're starting to get stand-up comedy back up and running, President. So for the years that I did stand-up, I would do crowd work as well. Not as much as Jay does. Jay will go out and do an entire show of crowd work.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I did have material that I'd prepared, and Jay does too. But, I would do a healthy balance between both. But, yeah, you get that all the time. And I remember, you know... situations where when the crowd starts to turn on you, not me, the performer, but the heckler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the note. Everyone in the audience is reacting to you being obnoxious. They're basically saying, we paid for this.
And the guy with the microphone.
And you're robbing us.
The guy with the microphone wins. Like,
all
time.
The time. Yeah. And I remember taking down one guy who I would have loved to have kicked his ass.
Yeah.
But I got the crowd to turn on him. And that was that.
Are hecklers ever sober?
Yeah, sometimes.
They are, really?
Sometimes.
Because this sounds like just a drunk chick who just could not.
Would I say 99% of the time they're drunk? Yeah, yeah. You get the equivalent of beer muscles.
The first thing that bothered me about that story is that her dad got up and left and went to another table.
Yeah.
Like, her dad should have taken her out. Like, at some point, you have to recognize, I'm responsible for this problem. I need to remove it.
Yeah. Well, usually
it's his responsibility.
The staff needs to go and remove that as well, because there are other paying customers and stuff. So it shouldn't be incumbent upon your friends or family to take you out. It's, you know, the staff there or whatever. But I mean, what really stood out to me, I had no idea that this dude came up from behind him on the stage. Jay's probably thinking, like, I mean, he went off the stage. It's like,
damn, happened.
Hits the ground. Like, what? Yeah. What was that?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a case too, and this reminds me of conversations we've had about this. You're with someone who's drunk,
mm-hmm.
oh man,
or someone who's acting up who gets you
yeah.
into a fight.
Oh,
who you're not doing a goddamn thing.
Yeah.
And they get you
and this
into the fight.
And the person you know is wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to do, there's a moral moment where you have to go, okay, this person that I'm with is being an idiot, yet I'm friends with them. Okay. Or they're my girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever.
Oh, the girlfriend.
And I have to make a decision. Do I back them up simply because I know them, even though they're way wrong? Or, you know what I mean?
Well, the girlfriend thing lays down a whole nother layer. You're exactly right. So you're with a girlfriend or a girlfriend's girlfriend who you're out with. And they cause something. And then suddenly you're now.
You're like, oh, man.
This idiot that I dated, Teresa, she was a drink thrower. God.
The whole thing?
Just not the cup.
Okay, not Vaseline all.
She would throw the liquid. Oh, my God. I was just like, she would get into a bitch battle with some other girl over I don't know what, and then throw a drink on her, and then guess who's got to get in the middle and separate the girls. And if a bouncer sees this happening, guess who they're coming after? The dude.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
They're not going to jump on the girl. Mm-hmm. There's actually footage of something that just happened.
I hated her.
Preston, you just reminded me. I just think it was out in California. These two guys were sitting on a bench. They were drinking coffee. They, like, you know, some Starbucks or something, whatever. And they're there. And apparently they didn't have masks on as they're having their deal. And this pissed off this woman and her boyfriend as they're walking past, and they get into a little altercation, but then the woman comes back and throws her drink.
Drink throw.
So what happens? The guy gets up, goes right past the girl who threw the drink, and starts beating the crap out of the boyfriend.
Oh, yes. Man.
By proxy.
Yes. Because
There must be something about a drink in your hand then, because I am not a drink thrower. I'm not that person. But there was one time I was at an Eagles game. I was in my seats, my season tickets. It was when they sucked. My entire section was empty. Entire section emptied out. I have a little wall so I can kind of like stand or sit at my leisure. The three people come in and they stood right in front of us.
Right.
Like right in front of us.
And there's nobody else in the section.
No one's there. They could have moved either way. And I like maybe chirped a little bit and chirped a little bit more, and they didn't move. They didn't do anything. And I probably was drinking for like 8 hours that day, and I threw a cup of ice at them.
Oh, okay.
And so what happened?
I mean, it hit them in the head, and then
the whole cup or just dumped the ice on them?
Like chucked my cup at them. Oh, like, so what happened? Kind of like flipped it up. My brother and my boyfriend at the time kind of had to like.
Yeah. You were the drink thrower. Yeah.
I was the drink thrower. There must be something about a drink in your hand when you just have nothing else to do. You want to punch a wall. You want to do something. It's just right there, and you can just chuck it.
You also know it's not going to hurt them. It's just going to piss them off really bad.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a thing, but
and then,
don't do that.
But I mean,
I never did it again, but there was one time.
Okay. But you owned it. I got it, and that's fine.
I did throw champagne in my boyfriend.
So do you guys know the there's a couple of all-nude clubs here that you could go to, and you can.
Not.
Yeah. Steve, I don't know if you know this, but you can also, you can buy lollipops that have been inside of the dancers.
Is that right?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Okay. You can for $20, you can buy a lollipop. I think it's a blow.
This is a whole other topic I think we're going into.
Well,
why
no.
would you want that?
Okay. No, I didn't. This was not me. So we're talking about somebody else getting you in trouble. The person that I was with at this bachelor party
tastes like crap.
Started to not
didn't
that
say where.
Anyway, listen, he was chewing up the lollipop, and then he was like throwing the chewed up pieces at the dancers on the stage.
What?
Completely, I know. Listen, dude was an a-hole. Well, however, the bouncer then got up onto the stage, and this dude was mean. I was like straight out of a movie, right? He had like bald head, goatee, and a chain and a padlock around his neck. I mean, it's like straight up out of a movie, and he starts yelling at the crowd. Well, this guy is so tough in the crowd, he starts yelling like, F you. But the dude's standing behind me, and now the bouncer is yelling at me because he thinks I'm the one that's yelling it, and he's calling me the C word.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I'm like, it was not me. He's like, I'm going to come there. I'm going to kick your ass, you C. I was like, oh, man. And I just turned around this guy. I'm like, shut the F up. You're going to get me kicked out of here, or you're going to get my ass kicked, or both, you know?
Yeah. I know. Sometimes it's somebody else causing it.
Well, that's another thing, is if somebody's doing it right behind you and they think it's you, and people get mad at you, and you're like,
that wasn't me!
A lot of times, though, you have the deflection. There's a different connection when you have someone you're with, you know, like a girlfriend, like, or a boyfriend, or somebody. I've seen it, too, where the girlfriend tries to tamp down the situation with an unruly boyfriend.
Yeah.
And then the melee starts. Have you ever seen... Well, I've seen my share of girl fights too.
Oh, yeah, man, they're scary.
Yeah, in fact, they're more.
I don't think they know what they're. Listen, I know that they know what they're doing. But they slam people's like heads into the pavement like over and over and over. I'm like, you are going to kill this person. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. They usually have a lot to grip onto.
Yeah, they won't let go of the hair.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. You can't separate them. But yeah, this gal apparently who got this whole fracas, this whole kerfuffle started last night with Big J. Listen, it was the idiot that jumped on stage and tackled Jay. Didn't need to do that, obviously. But I mean,
have you ever seen like a brawl like that at a place you've been? I mean.
Well, not at a performance, but I used to be a nightclub DJ.
Yeah.
And
you would see.
So I saw him. In fact, it was my job. When I would see a fight, I had the house mic.
Right.
So I would say security to the dance floor, security to the front door, wherever it would be.
Oh, man.
And then you would see these people just descend on them and just, it was, you know, they beat the crap out of them.
The good, like the Double Deuce.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I saw there's a place called Rivers and on the Laclede's Landing in St. Louis. It was a regular Saturday night thing. It was my regular Saturday night thing.
Absolutely, man.
But I did the Saturday night party mix there. And
it'll be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but, I mean, there was a brawl without question every single time, no matter when it was. And it was these bouncers were ruthless, man. They were guys that liked to beat people up.
That's bad, too, because
I know.
Obviously then the club is liable if you, I don't know, make someone a cripple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's the worst though when somebody else starts something and you are all of a sudden associated. You're now a part of it, and a lot of times you don't even know how it started in the first place. Whose fault it was?
My one of my best friends, a guy named Scott, his girlfriend was that girl that was all when she got lit up, she got contentious. Ugh. This guy was not big, and so I after a while we stopped going out. I had a girlfriend at the time as couples because she would be. She'd be the flashpoint, and he couldn't defend. He was a smaller guy.
Yeah.
So all eyes would go to me in this foursome, in this group, and I'm like, no! And the thing would always kill me, I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
I don't drink.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine. I'm not, you know, yelling or being sloppy, and yet I'm catching all
and
the crap.
And maybe as a result, you don't suffer that as much. You know what I mean?
You're take it.
Yeah, I can't understand take that. It. I got attacked from behind at a bar, and it was because of something that a friend's, and I don't even know if she was a girlfriend, but it was a girl that he was with. Long story short, there was a guy at the bar who was passed out. And the guy that I was with, intern Joe, had this girl that was with him, and she thought it was funny that he was passed out at the bar, so she started taking pictures of this guy. I have nothing to do with what's going on here at all.
Okay.
I'm in a separate conversation. Everything that's happening is happening behind me. Well, dude's friend, whose pictures are being taken, he takes exception. He comes over, starts yelling at Joe and this girl, and this is all going on behind me. I turn around because I hear a kerfuffle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Kerfuffle on the floor.
And dude's like, yeah, blah, 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 passed out, pictures. And I see, and the dude that they're taking pictures of, I know.
Okay. You know him. Okay.
But I still don't know what's going on. All I say, I go, oh, he's fine. Leave him alone. Just go have a drink at the bar. I turn around. Next thing I know, I'm going flying into a table and a crowd of people because the dude just attacked me for no reason.
From behind. He didn't like what you said?
I don't know. I have no idea. Whatever was going on behind me, I was a part of it for about 10 seconds max. And then a huge thing broke out. Like, the dude not only attacked me from behind, but then he was coming up to punch me. Another dude that I was with ended up like breaking that up. And then next thing I know, I get picked up off the ground by bouncers who are now carrying me out the door. And I'm like, what? I'm like with Jay.
Like with Big Jay.
Like with intern, with Big Jay. Like, yeah. I mean, I didn't even have enough time to, like...
To
process anything, and now I'm being, like...
What?
Brought out the door. Yeah. Like, what's going on right now?
I am not an animal.
I am, yeah, and then eventually... The only thing I did wrong that night is I should have went home at this point. I knew the person who owned the bar. He came over as I was being escorted out, and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. Like, who is that guy? That guy attacked me. And then he's like, all right, well, then that guy, you stay in the back of the bar. You stay here in the front of the bar. I should have went home. I didn't, because for the next hour, me and that guy were FUing from across the bar.
What?
I know.
I can't believe they let both of you guys stay, even though you knew the owner.
Well, I knew the owner.
That's not how you handle the situation.
No, but the owner,
and who's in the people at the bar? They want to see that?
Well, dude, I mean, it ended up turning into a complete S show. And the part that made me so mad, and when I woke up the next day, I'm like, everybody thinks I did something wrong. You know what I mean? Because nobody, like, there were, you know, a few hundred people in the bar, and everybody, all people saw was me being carried out.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that guy's a clown. Like, he totally, you know, messed something up last. I'm like, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, when you get blindsided like that, you're just insanely confused, and that makes you really mad because you don't understand what the hell, what went on in the first place.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
I should have went home.
You should have.
But listen, you still get angry about this today.
Well, so when I got up the next morning, when I was getting like kicked out and all that, I didn't know that intern Joe and his friend were taking pictures of somebody.
Right.
I didn't find that out until the next day.
Yeah.
You were bum rushed by somebody and had no reason for it.
It pissed me off. And then I wasn't even able to reconcile with the attacker for another couple of years. He didn't know what was going on. When eventually I ended up seeing him out, I said, hey, do you remember this thing that happened? He's like, yeah, you were messing with my buddy. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't. I had nothing that was like, you attacked me for no reason. Yeah.
And then he punched you in the face.
And then he punched me in the face. Well, listen. Let's make no bones about it. This dude, drunk, sober, whatever, could kick my ass. Right. Like, you know, so I'm not a tough guy here by any means.
All right. Let me go to some calls. I have Lou on the line. Hey, Lou.
Oh, man.
Who's Lou?
I knew it.
Who's Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's up, President Steve?
Yo. Yo, buddy.
Casey Boy.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, Lou.
Story, Lou. Come on.
You wanted to share a story with us.
Yeah, listen, I was out in the biker's bar in California, in San Jose, and I come out of the bathroom, and I see a buddy of mine getting an argument with a guy. So I kind of walk up, nobody knows I'm with him, and I see his buddy come around and try to sucker punch my friend. So I push him in the chest. Next thing you know, I got a 9mm to my head.
Wow!
So I turn around and tell the guy, oh, tough guy with a gun, I'll take you outside, put the gun down. So... Of course he does. He puts the gun down, gives it to the owner. I go, now I'm outside with this biker, and we're wailing at each other. Next thing you know, I wake up on the ground.
Oh, wow.
You should have gone with the gun.
Hey, Lou, so did you ever find out what, you don't even know how this started. You came out and all of a sudden
have
you see
no
this thing
idea.
Going on. No kidding.
That sucks. Yep. And that's it. It's exactly to the point we're talking about. So, like Big J getting pushed off the stage or anybody in a situation where you, and again, whether it's people you go out with who always end up getting you into the fight. And after a while, you don't go out with those people anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
All right, Lou.
Especially you get a gun to your goddamn head.
Lou's got stories.
Lou's got stories.
Yeah. Thanks, bud.
Bye, guys.
See
ya. Oh, whoa.
We did get a little clarification, by the way. That was Luis who was running up because the guy was pulling Jay from below the stage. Lewis, thank you.
Okay, all right. So I called him Lewis.
Yeah, he came running from backstage to push to get the guy off of Jay, who was pulling him off
stage. I see it now.
Stage.
You can see he was pulling Jay by the ankle.
Okay. Oh, is that what happened?
Jay was sitting on a stool and he reached up and grabbed him by the ankle. and pulled him off stage. And Lewis comes running up and jumps off stage.
Tries to help him.
Yeah.
See, we didn't call it right.
That's a good friend right there. And he was there like in an instant.
Yeah.
So that's like the guy who came and helped me out. Like, I mean, I wasn't even able to get punched in the face. He jumped in so fast.
If you are just tuning in, yeah, we're talking about our buddy Big J Okerson was doing a show at Soul Joel's in Rofo last night. And there was a drunk girl in the audience heckling, and apparently she got taken out, or I guess her friends or maybe her family got her out of there, and she was mouthing off the whole time. Well, apparently her brother came up at some point and tried to yank yank Jay off the stage, and did, and it had turned into a big fight and all this stuff. And I guess they, and as we had a caller earlier saying that they were going back and forth from the stage, which is Jay was, do what you do. You handle a heckler.
Like our first caller was saying, Jamie was saying, it's kind of an honor. It's like if you were to go see like an insult comic and they come after you as part of the deal. Well, it wasn't hitting that way with this person.
Yeah.
And so they were really getting mad only feeding the beast.
Like Rickles, that he made a whole career. Right. And he would go after like the
mobsters.
Mobsters.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely. He didn't care. It was his shtick.
That's it.
That's what you do. Hang on. A few other calls. So I'm going to go to Bill. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? You guys rock.
Thank you, Bill. What's your story, man?
Hey, so years and years ago, my wife and I are at a New Year's Eve party, and I'm a pretty big guy, so we need a drink. So she's smaller. She's weak up to the bar. She gets up there, and this is back when you still could smoke in a bar. My wife and I are not smokers, and she's kind of offended by smoking. So there's a lady at the bar next to her waiting for a drink, smoking a cigarette. My wife physically takes the cigarette out of the lady's hand
and throws it
on the ground.
Oh, no.
I'm a couple rows back and kind of watch this go down. The lady lights up again. My wife takes the cigarette out of her hand again and throws it on the ground.
Oh, no. Bill, hang on. Was she drunk or just...
Nah, well, my wife was she was buzzing pretty good, and the other lady was just looking for some action, I guess, you know. So the lady's boyfriend steps in, goes up to my wife, and says, "Do you have a problem?" Now, at this point, I got to say something. Now, I'm about 6'5", 275,
oh,
so
geez.
I got to work my way up and say, "Look, my wife doesn't have a problem, but I think you got a problem now." And he backs down, and I'm not a fighter or anything. I'm a big guy, but I don't like getting into that stuff because I go to jail if I throw a punch. So he backs off. I told my wife, I said, "We can't stay here. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to defend you all night. So let's get the fuck out of here." So
you. I mean, she was the one. She was the one at fault. If it was legal to smoke.
Yes.
Thank God you were a little intimidating, you know, to this guy, because she was in the wrong. That's exactly the situation I hate. When you're now thrust into this.
Are you still married to her, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Love her to death. Got three kids. And it's all great.
That would be a serious character flaw that I would have an issue with.
Let me ask you, Bill, has she gotten you into other situations like that?
Not really, not to that extent. And the law's changed now anyway, so maybe she was right in the first place.
She was right ahead of her time.
She was ahead of the law.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my God. Bill, that was not cool of her, by the way. So.
But, Bill, you're in love.
But, Bill, Bill's put in that uncomfortable situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you got it. Like I've said many times, Preston, if I go into a room and my wife has a bloody hatchet and there's three bodies on the floor cut to pieces, I would say, "Hon, get your coat. We're going to have to leave town."
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, my God. Let me go to anonymous caller on the line. Hello, anonymous. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, man?
So, I'm training MMA, and I used to go to a bunch of concerts, like multiple concerts a year, especially country concerts with a bunch of my old friends and stuff. And I always knew I was going into it just to be the protector there, pretty much. Every time we'd go, they'd start crap with somebody, especially if it was a Bud Light Platinum concert. that was always a bad day with them guys. Even bars and stuff, parties. I mean, just like the caller said earlier, I had my buddy got a gun pulled on him, and I saw from across the party. I ran over, and I take the gun out of this guy's hand and take him down. And then a couple of my other buddies ran over, thinking that I pulled a gun on him, tried to take the gun away from me.
Let me ask you a question: would these guys, if you weren't around, start all that crap?
Probably not.
Yeah.
No, I guarantee you they were using you to facilitate
as muscle. Well,
they're just drunken idiots. I mean,
they know they've got you. Should things go awry, so they can do whatever they want to.
That's even worse.
That's a bad friend.
So what did you do? What do you do with this cluster of friends? Did you say, okay, I have to disconnect from these guys?
No, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of enjoyed it, but
yeah. I have a friend like you who he would never start a fight, but he would end it. You know, like
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Jesus. Wow. Oh, interesting. All right, thanks, man. I guess he kind of likes it, but that's weird. That would be a bad situation to be in. You know how to handle yourself. Your friends know that. You've got some training and all this stuff, so it gives them a little bit of license to be a little bit of an a-hole if they want to be.
But when the gun comes out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
When the gun comes out. Yeah. Like Lou getting a 9mm to his forehead or whatever it was. Yeah, that's where it gets. No, don't do that.
Yeah, I would have to leave said establishment immediately because I would have a whole bunch of poop in my pants.
Imagine you're sitting there, though, and you're watching. You've seen it many times before, and your wife's at the bar throwing a cigarette out of a woman's mouth a couple of times. Like, here it goes.
Yep. Let me see. A couple other calls. We got to take a break, but there's some good stuff coming in. I have another anonymous caller. Love that.
Yeah.
Anonymous, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man, you got a short story to sell, a share.
Or yeah, sell. I got to sell it.
All right, go for it.
Sell that story.
So me and my wife were playing one of them video games at the bar.
Yeah.
And, like, this is, like, 6 feet away from the actual bar. And then there's a younger couple, you know, early 20s. They start arguing because she wants to be Instagram famous. So he... Yeah.
Okay.
So they're getting in like a fight. So my wife, being a peacekeeper,
yeah,
she tells them, she's like, you shouldn't be fighting over
there. Hey, oh. So she was like, mind your
effing business.
Your own business.
Mind your effing business.
Uh-huh.
So that was that. And then, so they're going back and forth. And then he says something to the effect of, will you stop so before I have to, you know, beat both of their butts? And so I was like, dude, you ain't going to do nothing. So we both get up, and instead of, like, you know, just talking or anything, he blasts me.
Wow.
Next thing I remember is just getting up. Like, and then I asked a couple people in the bar, I said, did he just knock me out? Like, he knocked me out. And dude, it was like a 1 foot step where we at the bar.
Yeah.
So, and I fell right down there. Like,
so,
knocked, yeah.
Were they still there when you came to, or did they take off?
Yeah, no.
You know what they did? They went home and had the best sex they've ever had.
Nah,
right?
When I got up, my wife is pretty much fighting the girl.
Oh, no.
And, like, then there's blood all over because my wife goes to throw a bottle with very bad aim.
Oh.
And the bottle goes right to the ground, shatters. So her foot's all bloody, stepping in glass. And then me and another buddy end up going outside with the dude. And
what a
then,
nightmare.
Yeah. It was
what a nightmare. That it starts with a fight over being Instagram famous makes it all the better.
And then the other thing, too, is I ended up talking to another friend of mine. He said he got in a fight with a guy the week before. And this is a couple that they do this all the time. They start.
Hey, dude, I'm sorry. We got to let you go.
Santa's got to go.
Santa's got to go.
So it sounds like they're like natural born killers or something like that.
Did they set up couple other couples?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, this place is going to be us over.
I want to be a Instagram Twitter famous.
Yeah. Right.
I want to be very popular on LinkedIn.
Wow. Well, listen. Sometimes you're in that weird situation where you've been. By proxy, you've been dragged into that brawl.
And you're always like, oh, how am I here? Gosh, why are you doing this?
Thankfully, I haven't seen or been involved with or even seen anything like this in years. It's because it's never good.
Lest we forget that Big J worked as a bouncer for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a big guy. All right, so anyhow, but he's okay.
Yeah.
He's fine. Casey's going to text him and see.
No,
he's probably not going to check in with us. But
yeah, I had texted him already because he did a like a a live Instagram last night because people started doxing this guy and trying to get all his information out there. And he's like, don't. Well, that's what he said. He's like, don't do it. Don't dox the guy. He's like, you know, everything's fine. I'm okay. You know, we're going to take care of this, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah.
Well, that's pretty big of Jay to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but he did say they're going to have to. They got to go to court.
Yeah,
so it's going to have to. There's some charges. The guy apparently was arrested. All right, anyhow, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for the stories. We appreciate it. We got to take a break. We should have already been doing the Bizarre File by now, so we're going to get to that when we return. Make sure you stay close. We're going to talk to Bert Kreischer this morning.
Yeah.
And Todd Glass at some point. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for Presidency Blood Drive is a go, but it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be three donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
All right, let's do the B-File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Burke Brothers Landscaping. They have an immediate need for an experienced hardscape foreman who wants to earn a competitive salary and work with the award-winning landscape design and build firm. For more information, visit BurkeBrothers.com. A 19-year-old American soldier who is accused of trying to steal a taxi at Munich International Airport was thwarted by the car's transmission. This happens
a little
from time
too difficult,
to time.
Huh?
Yep. The soldier, a member of the 2nd Cavalry Regiment based in Bavaria, was supposed to be flying back to the U.S. from Munich International Airport last week. Instead, he's accused of trying to take a Mercedes taxi for a spin after seeing the keys in the ignition and no one in the driver's seat, said the Munich Airport police who are investigating the incident. The soldier is also accused of assaulting the 50-year-old cab driver when he tried to stop him from taking the car. The taxi driver was outside the vehicle, leaning on the hood, enjoying a fine summer weather day when he waited for passengers at one of the cab ranks. All of a sudden, he noticed that the engine was on. Surprised, the taxi driver turned around and saw a stranger sitting in the driver's seat. The soldier tried to drive off, but was apparently not prepared for the Mercedes manual transmission. With the car juddering violently as the soldier tried to put it into gear, the cab driver got into the front passenger seat to try and stop him. During the ensuing scuffle or kerfuffle, the soldier managed...
Das fluffle is because it's Germany.
Gotcha. To get the car into gear and drove off. He didn't get far, though, because he crashed the vehicle into a post at the side of the road and did about $11,000 worth of damage. So the MPs came and got it.
It's like when I'd never really driven a car. My dad had a Subaru with a manual transmission, and they were away for like a week. I thought, let me just try driving it around the block.
Whoa.
Whee!
A man has opened up about how a botched nose job left him with a painful 3-month-long erection that required multiple surgeries to quell.
I will take such a nose job.
On his quest to resemble a male Bratz doll, this guy's had all this.
Oh, one of these dudes? Body dysmorphia?
Done. Nevin Siganovic, a blogger and TV personality from Zagreb, Croatia, underwent rhinoplasty surgery in Iran in 2017. The procedure was meant to correct his septum, but instead it left him with priapism, an unwanted, long-lasting, and painful erection that is not accompanied by sexual desire.
Oh, he's got a boner.
He said...
That's the Iranian doctor.
When I woke up from anesthesia after my nose job with priapism, I went through a really hard time, literally hard, he says. I had a full erection for almost 3 months.
3 months?
I think I even...
The best I ever got was a month and a half.
He said, I think I even brought down the world record. Baffled doctors attempted to correct his rigid condition over 3 operations. Hospital treatment, by the way, includes injections directly into the penis and surgery to drain blood in the penis through a needle or tiny cut.
Wait, quick question here. How painful is it?
It probably hurts a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what I could handle.
He said, I had 3 surgeries on my penis, and after the 3rd one, my willy started to go down. It was a really painful experience, but I survived with my head up high.
The cause behind the member malfunction remains a mystery. However, he suspects it might have something to do with a food supplement he was taking at the time named L-agrinine.
Gave him a three-month boner?
Yep.
Somehow I doubt that.
Well, I think that in with the surgery. And the anesthesia. This is a terrible story. A remote learning class in Florida was interrupted Tuesday when the mother of an elementary student was shot and killed during an online Zoom session. The shooting occurred in Indiantown, Florida, during a morning class session for Warfield Elementary School, and the instructor heard her 10-year-old student reacting to what seemed like a violent commotion behind her. Mm. Five other children were reportedly in the home when the shooting took place. None of the children were injured. Their mother, Maribel Morales, was shot multiple times, and she died in the hospital. The sheriff, William Snyder, said the suspect, Donald J. Williams, was taken into custody that day and is facing first-degree murder charges and other felony offenses. The teacher said she had heard a commotion, heard profanity, and added that the teacher realized there was some type of domestic altercation and muted the 10-year-old's audio feed to protect other children from hearing the incident, adding that the affected child had put her hands up to her ears. She said almost immediately after the child put her hands up to her ears, the computer screen went blank. We know the computer was hit with a projectile. It's likely most of the children in the class witnessed the shooting as well.
Oh, my God.
Following the shooting, Williams left the home and attempted to flee on a bus. He was apprehended and made a full confession to the shooting.
Sadly, stuff like that's happened a couple times.
During Zoom
calls?
Yeah,
during Zoom calls, yeah.
Wow. Let's see here. A worker at a conservative Christian organization who relied on pornography to relieve his stress has won compensation after suffering a stroke in the office. Michael Bowker served as a national office manager for Family Voice Australia in Adelaide when he collapsed in April of 2016. The South African native from a seriously religious family had struggled with dependence on pornography after witnessing a drive-by shooting in 1993, but he ramped up his consumption in the weeks running up to a stroke. This is a porn.
So he watched a drive-by. He witnessed a drive-by shooting, and that made him addicted to porn?
That's what he says.
Huh.
An employment tribunal heard how Mr. Bowker felt this was in conflict with his religious beliefs and moral standards, and he believed looking at pornography was a sin. Family Voice Australia, which has campaigned against same-sex marriage and sex work, argued watching porn contributed to his stress. But tribunal deputy president Stephen Leszczynski had said workplace...
Isn't that our union rep?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The same thing.
Leszczynski.
Oh.
Said workplace... Anxiety caused a poor staff morale, high workload, and long hours drove him to watch the explicit videos and significantly contributed to his stroke.
Yeah, I once saw a drive-by shooting, and that's why I look at porn.
He ruled the management style of the national director demoralized the staff and that tensions in the office were palpable when he came in. Mr. Bowker was in the hospital for 3 months after his stroke and suffered from various complications. The tribunal ruled that he remained significantly impaired ever since, despite making improvements. And Family Voice Australia were told to pay 2 years of weekly compensation payments for the anxiety that Mr. Bowker suffered at work.
That's amazing. So he was. It was a severe stroke.
Yeah, I guess so. He was improving though. Do we need to wrap it up there?
Yeah.
All right.
That was a good one, though.
That is what we have in the bizarre file for you. More stories coming a little bit later on. We're going to break. We're going to come back in a moment. Don't forget, Big J. Oakerson. We were just talking about Big J. Oakerson, but another big guy, Bert Kreischer,
yes,
on the show this morning. Todd Glass as well. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Reminder, 1 week from today, I Bleed for Preston and Steve, the blood drive, that is correct. It is upon us. We are having it. It's a different way, different vibe, three different locations. We still need your help. It's on a Friday instead of a Saturday, so we understand it's a bit of an inconvenience. But listen, Red Cross needs your help. We're going to make sure all safety guidelines are taken care of. Go to WMMR.com. Please sign up for this. So we would love to see you next Friday for that. Go get the details. Get signed up. Okay. Something I noticed yesterday.
What the hell?
I'm saying. No.
It's time for the Noticer, the Friday edition.
My wife actually noticed this. Rochelle noticed it like a week or so ago.
All right, what'd you notice?
In USA Today was trying to find, they have their, like, a reader's poll. And they were looking for the best hotel pools in the nation.
The best hotel pools in the nation.
And we found out that one of the pools that we had visited on vacation was on this list. And yesterday, the poll's back in. It's the number one.
Is this the pool Anthony Michael Hall was going crazy in?
No. But it looks a lot,
looks
like,
a lot
that.
Like that.
That looked like that was at a Ramada.
It looks like one of those pools. You know when you pull into a hotel motel and they got the pool right in the parking lot?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
No, but the number one hotel pool in the nation, according to USA Today, was one that we visited last year when we went to Hawaii. Was that last year? I think it was last year. God, it's so hard to tell.
At this point, time means nothing. Yeah,
right. I believe it was. And it was in...
Hey, everybody. Preston's here.
It was on the island of Kauai, and it was at the Kaloa Landing Resort in a town called Poipu. And it is outstanding. And I remember while we were there, like, turning to my family and going... It's not just me. I mean, this is pretty damn amazing, right? And so everybody agreed. And it wasn't like I picked out this hotel because it had this world-renowned pool.
Right, right.
It's a Marriott property, and I'm a Marriott Rewards Club, so I just looked.
That's where you went.
I only looked at Marriott properties.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that one looks great. Let's go there.
Wow.
And turns out, best pool in the country.
Wow.
Now, I am happy to also announce that the number two pool in the nation, according to USA Today, is here in Philadelphia.
What?
Really?
Yes.
So we go all the way from Poipu, Hawaii.
Poipu. Close.
To here. For number two.
It's in, like, the city proper?
It is.
Yeah, it makes sense, too.
The Four Seasons Hotel. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia.
We saw it.
Amazing. Has the number two pool in the country. Now, I didn't go with you guys on that tour. Tell me about it.
It was warm. It was hot in there.
It's an infinity. Well, of course, they keep it a little bit more tropical, but it has an infinity pool look to it, Preston. So when you walk in, it's not especially deep, but it's very... modern looking.
That's what I'm looking at.
And so when you're swimming in the pool, it is the Philadelphia skyline through these gigantic windows.
Like the tops of the buildings. You know what I mean?
You're up at the top.
Yeah. That's our transmitter right there.
I'm looking at a photo of this, and it looks like it's got at least a 20-foot tall ceiling.
It's one of the most beautiful rooms, you know, for a pool to be in, and that's the whole draw of it.
Right outside of the window is Liberty One, so that's how high, I mean, like the peak of Liberty One, so you can see, you're at the top, so the view's got to be phenomenal. Yeah. And I guess that's it.
That's the whole thing. It's not, again, like not a tremendously big pool or a tremendously deep pool, but it's gorgeous.
It's very spa-like.
That's very much like that.
You walk in, there's lounges. It's off of the gym.
Did you know also, by the way, as you walk down the hall, there are a couple of halls there, Preston, where they've had some expert come in from somewhere, I forget what, Japan or something, and they've placed healing crystals in the walls as you walk down to the pool that are sort of... to enhance the experience.
Okay.
But it's, I can see that. That's gorgeous.
I mean, literally, my friends and I were sitting on a rooftop this past Saturday staring at that pool, just going,
nice.
Wouldn't that be nice? Like, it is part of our
When you open your
mouth
wide, do they lantern bug fly?
Close. They don't have as many as I do.
When did they open the Four Seasons?
Reopen, you mean?
Yeah.
Like, just a few weeks ago. So
I meant open.
Oh.
It was this year, right?
It's been maybe less than a year, maybe just over a year that it's been open.
So a quick question with that. So with hotels are open in the city, are they not?
Yes.
Yes. So one who is staying at the Four Seasons currently, mm-hmm. would they be able to access the pool?
Well, I did just see a our friend Alicia Vitarelli did a staycation at the Four Seasons, and she was in the pool with her family. Okay. So I believe so. There's probably, like, you can book times
To go
is what they do, so you kind of have an hour or so with your family.
I would think so. We were just at the Icona in Avalon, and the pool was open.
Yeah.
You just had to, you know, you had to wear a mask if you were walking around in common areas, and when you were in the pool, just had to keep the distance, so... but so that's cool that Philly, number two on this list.
We go, I mean, that's Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Philly.
And I'm telling you, man, that pool, I just.
So what makes it so good? I saw the picture. It looked pretty stellar.
Well, it's huge, number one. It's like three different levels of pool that all flows into one another via slides and tunnels and stuff like that. And these gigantic infinity pools. It's dotted with hot tubs all over the place. It's used, they use, lava, rock all over.
Doesn't that burn you up?
No, it wasn't hot. It was
cool.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Of course. And, why would they do that?
Waterfalls and just all the flora. All, you know, you have all those hibiscus, you know, flowers. And I didn't want to move. They were playing this very stereotypical Hawaiian beautiful music with this stuff all
the
time.
Is everyone having a good time?
And I just didn't want to leave. I just wanted to stay right there by this pool all the time.
It's magnificent. Yeah, that's
drinking my Fruity Tooty cocktails. See, oh, God, I love it.
I'm really a sucker for any pool whatsoever. I mean, I've talked about the pool that you see when you're going over the Walt Whitman Bridge. There's a swim club right there, right on the other side in New Jersey. I'm like, oh, it just looks so good. But a pool like that, I would have to...
Have you ever thought of uncovering your cesspool?
No, but I would have to swim end to end. Like to be able to swim without having to turn around or flip turn or anything like that. Oh, I would love that so much.
Mm. By the way, four of them I think were in Hawaii. Four of the top ten.
Well, they kind of have the edge.
Yeah, they do. So I'll run down the list.
Especially when you're doing a place resort like or a place that is known for tourism, you better have a competitive ass pool.
So the Kailua Landing Resort. Is number one, Four Seasons in Philadelphia, number two.
That's so cool.
Number three, the One Hotel South Beach, Miami. Number four was the Four Seasons Orlando Walt Disney World.
Orlando's killing it.
Number five, the Sheraton Waikiki. Number six is the Four Seasons Hotel Seattle. Number seven, the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. I've looked at the Broadmoor about visiting there before. I didn't know about their pool. The Hilton Waikoloa Village in Waikoloa, Hawaii.
Do you like pools with the beach walk-in?
Yeah. That's cool. Where it's a shallow...
Right.
Shallow grade that goes in. Yeah,
are cool.
Because you can take a chair out there.
Yeah, sit in the water.
And sit in it if you want to.
I tried in other pools and you end up drowning.
The Aulani Disney Resort and Spa in Kapolei, Hawaii... and then number 10 is the Fairmount Scottsdale Princess in Scottsdale, Arizona.
What's that resort down in Jamaica or whatever that you see? It looks like a sort of like a Mayan.
I don't know.
The resort itself looks like a Mayan temple.
Oh, wait. You're talking about in the Bahamas?
Atlantis?
Is it the Bahamas?
Yeah, the Atlantis.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. That has that elaborate
That
slide
looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
We stayed at the Moon Palace in Cancun, and that one had a really long pool and, you know, but I think that there were breaks in the pool that you couldn't actually go all the way through without.
Do they have agitated members of the Breakfast Club in the pool screaming?
No.
I don't think so. All right. So anyhow, Philadelphia. Nice job.
Yeah.
Second best hotel pool.
Eat it, other states.
In the nation. I noticed something else that came out of Hawaii, believe it or not. So these kind of string together.
The Hawaiian edition.
That's right.
Ulu waka laka liki.
And Steve, you sent me this article, actually. I noticed it via you. A helicopter passed through a rare full circle rainbow while flying above a volcano in Hawaii.
First off, I didn't know you could achieve a full circle volcano. And then when circle rainbow.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, it's the most amazing thing.
Helicopter passengers were left in awe at the phenomenon as the rainbow appears to be going in a full circle in the sky. Photographer Anna Kim took the footage while on a helicopter ride in Maui. While in the sky above the island volcano Haleakala, The flight led straight towards the unusual weather phenomenon. As the camera looks over the side of the helicopter, the rainbow loops underneath, appearing to go in a circle and not the usual semicircle shape.
Oh!
Yeah. That dude
He would have died.
Now, yeah, but he would have died yeah. seeing that. Absolutely.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Woo.
Passengers were stunned.
Double rainbow.
To see the rainbow, and there appeared to be fainter, small, a small double one as well.
Double rainbow.
Yeah.
Double rainbow. Oh, my God.
I had never heard of a 360 rainbow.
No,
before.
But the image. Do you
remember the picture? Okay, yeah.
It is unbelievable.
Now, I've seen a moon bow around the moon, and that's a full circle. Those are pretty cool. They happen rarely. You've never seen that, case?
No.
You see the look on your face.
Why is it?
Look at it, guys. Here's a picture of it up in the studio here, and you can find it online. Maybe we can post it. But that's a full circle rainbow.
That's amazing. I wonder what causes that.
It looks like the Avengers or something, and you're going through a portal.
Yeah.
All right. No. A moonbow. What is a? Is it colored?
It's like a whitish. Okay. It looks like this gigantic ring in the sky. It's got to be the right conditions for it to happen.
Would you say it's like a sup dog?
What's up, dog? if you ever get a chance to see it, it's pretty neat. I've seen it on a handful of occasions.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's something that was noticed. What else did we notice here? How about this?
The producer's making a selection. What will it be?
I have a number of things that I noticed. You know, I noticed this last week, and I sent you guys an article about it, but a Los Angeles company has created a phone booth-sized machine to beam live holograms into your living room.
And what? It's only like $50,000.
It's a little bit more than that. It's $60,000.
Jeez. It's cool, though.
This is very much out of, like, Star Wars.
Or do you remember Logan's Run?
With the Help Me, Obi-Wan, type of thing. The device made by a company called Portal, P-O-R-T-L, Incorporated, let's users talk in real time with a life-size hologram of another person. It looks real. It looks amazing.
It looks sensational. And then to the person who's using it, they're seeing the people who are looking at their hologram.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So the machines can also be equipped with technology to enable interaction with recorded holograms of historical figures or relatives who have passed away as well.
Okay.
I mean, that, honestly.
It's amazing.
There's so much science fiction that's being realized here. And a lot of that science fiction, by the way, ends horribly. But to get something like to have a moving life-size image of a loved one would be kind of wild.
All right. So do you guys FaceTime
one
a lot?
One who passed.
No. Do you have FaceTime a lot?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
So you FaceTime probably with your mom a lot and your sister. All right. So I FaceTime with my wife quite often, usually every day. And I love it. It's great. But the only problem is you're never actually looking each other in the eye. Do you notice that?
I make it a point to look at the camera from time to time.
Right. But if you're looking at the camera, then you're not looking at her. And at least she's looking at you in the eye.
I know. But I do it just to give a little bit of that feeling for the other person of getting eye contact. It depends on how far away or how close the phone is to you. If the phone is a little further away, it looks like you're making eye
contact. What you're talking about is, and they have things that are that, where the camera for the screen is actually in the screen at what your eye level would be at, or that it follows your eye.
Yeah.
It's a little off.
If you pull it a little further away, it will appear as if you're making eye contact.
Okay.
So you can do that. Anyhow, each portal device is 7 feet tall, 5 feet wide, 2 feet deep. It can be plugged into a standard wall outlet. Anyone with a camera and a white background can send a hologram to the machine in what the chief executive David Nussbaum calls holoportation. Nussbaum, who previously worked... I knew that was coming. Previously worked at a company that developed a hologram of Ronald Reagan for the former president's library and digitally resurrected rapper Tupac Shakur as well. He's the guy who did that stuff.
I'm President Ronald Reagan and you live in a dump.
He can actually see it. Maybe he hangs out with Tupac.
That's right.
All right, so the hologram is
home slice.
Yeah,
the hologram's actually like life size dish. It's not smaller.
It's life size. 7 feet tall, 5 feet wide, 2 feet deep.
Reagan was 7 feet tall. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh. No, but it's big enough to fit a 6 foot person.
Yeah. Okay.
So they like when you see the technology employed when they do have had Tupac on stage, as President saying, and those sort of things. It looks pretty good in this sort of really controlled environment. you get a we're looking at what they're saying is a picture of this guy, a holographic picture of this guy, and it does look completely real.
When we the last time we went to Disney, there was a I wouldn't call it a ride, but a show of sorts, and it had to do with Pirates of the Caribbean. And you go into this room, and there's all this activity that's taking place
right.
in this room. It's a very theatrical setup. And then at some point, near the far part of the room, on top of this rock, freaking Johnny Depp walks out as Jack Sparrow. And Steve, I mean, for a while, I had to sit there and convince myself that it was him, the actor. It was the actual actor.
I've been from Shanghai to Timbuktu, but I never saw anything like my ex-wife taking a dump in the bag, which she did, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, despite what she's been saying in court.
But
for
a little while, I had to convince myself that he wasn't actually in the room with
us. It looked that good.
And I think it was a type of hologram that they had set up. It looked three-dimensional. Yeah. It wasn't projected onto a screen, it didn't seem like. It was amazing.
Right. What woman image do you call up first?
First?
For your first hologram.
Mm-mm. Naked?
Norma Stitz.
Yeah, she could fit in there.
Yeah, she could. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
because
it's like if the holodeck was real.
Right.
You know?
You remember the movie Brainstorm?
Yeah.
With Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
There's a guy, so basically it's that, and we've talked about this for years. We knew it's been in the works. There's a guy who literally creates a loop. Some guys at the lab where they create this thing, they have sex and they're wearing, right?
Yeah.
And he watches the orgasm like 50 times in the row. And when they find him, he's just like a complete mess in the, he had too much pleasure.
That was Natalie Wood's last movie.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow, the guy who had resurrected Ronald Reagan and Tupac to be in this said, "We are able to connect military families that haven't seen each other in months."
That's awesome.
"People from opposite coasts or anyone who is social distancing to fight the coronavirus."
So the list price right now is at 60, but they expect it to drop. How dramatically do they expect it to drop?
So it starts at $60,000. The cost of Nuspalm expects to drop over the next 3 to 5 years. The company also plans a smaller tabletop device with a lower price tag early next year.
So that would be $25,000.
So that would be like the Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi size, you know, that'd like a little small thing.
I just don't understand what they're projecting it onto. That I mean,
there's a series of mirrors, and it creates,
and it looks 3D.
Yes, it creates that, and you could, if the thing was set up, you could walk around the image.
Okay.
The device can be equipped with artificial intelligence technology from the Los Angeles-based company Storyfile to produce hologram recordings that can be archived.
Is there a pizza oven in it?
Adding that to the current device brings the cost to at least $85,000.
Jesus.
The companies are promoting to museums, which could let visitors question a hologram of a historical figure, and families to record information for future generations. Yeah, they just take all those Reagan clips.
I think one of the kids was named Willis.
Yeah. Steve, if you're asking for like home renovations, you can say tear down
that wall and put up some nice brick face. Now follow me into the rumpus room.
People can feel like they're having a conversation with a recorded hologram. It's pretty amazing. I don't know when you will be able to purchase these, but seeing a video of it online, I was blown away. It's pretty incredible.
It's very cool.
Yeah. All right, what else do we have here?
More from the noticer.
Mm-hmm. A lot to notice today.
He's noticing like a mofo.
How about... Okay, here's one that I noticed.
So far, you're 2 for 2, noticer.
Here's one that I noticed about Tiger King.
Tiger King.
I haven't talked about that in a long time.
It's been a while. Well, now those movies are in production, right? I think they've gone into production.
Jack Lewis, Don Lewis, he was also known as... vanished on the morning of August 18th, 1997, the day before his scheduled trip to Costa Rica. The body of the Florida millionaire was never found, and he was declared legally dead in April of 2002.
This was Carol Baskin's husband.
That is correct, and that has since been reported. It has since been reported that two experts confirmed Don's will was forged.
Yeah.
Conveniently leaving behind most of his $5 million estate.
There, and this looks to have a lot of credibility behind this forgery claim. So what does that do to everything?
Yeah. Yep,
because exactly. They turned over Tiger King's zoo to Carol Baskin.
That is correct. Yes. So, two, Carol Baskin, you know, he left all that. Legal ramifications cannot be imposed because it is beyond the statute of limitations. So that has expired. Now, Lewis's family has hired an attorney to revisit the investigation, with the family also offering a reward of $100,000 in exchange for information to help solve the case. Internet sleuths from all corners of the internet are working to solve the two-decade-old mystery, and a spokesman for now repping Don's family claims a Facebook collective has discovered a new lead that supports the theory of Joe Exotic that Don Lewis is buried under the septic system in the animal sanctuary.
Man. Listen, I don't wish anyone any harm or anything of that nature, but I hope they find him under the septic system. That'd be wild.
According to TMZ, spokesman Jack Smith claims the online research team has obtained the actual receipts and permit paperwork for the septic tanks installation. Carol has previously acknowledged two septic tanks on the property, one of which was installed before Don's appearance and one long after.
Do you know it's become a source of income for her? She's doing cameo videos.
Yeah. Is she?
Yeah, seriously. How much is it? How much is she charging?
I think she's charging like $150.
Okay, that's
yeah,
not that
yeah,
bad.
Yeah.
But if this is true, it would indicate that Carol was fudging her timeline. We're going to find out soon enough because the group claims that it will turn over the findings of the police in an effort to finally crack the case open.
So what does this do, again, in the broad scheme of things? A forgery means none of what she's owned or none of what she's had has been hers.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I mean, that's, you're going to need a whole other series.
By the way, the statute of limitations, there's no statute. It doesn't run out on murder, ever.
No, it doesn't run out on murder. It could run out on forgery.
Yeah, true.
It's weird how these things are reconciled. You know, there used to be a ridiculous statute of limitations for a lot of rape cases.
Yes.
And they wisely did away with a lot.
That's weird, though, because if she's still reaping the benefits from said forgery, then, like, there should be no statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I know. I don't know how these things are. I mean, it's weird when you stop and think. A lot of times you'll go to jail longer for check forgery than you will for homicide.
Yeah, it's bizarre how they work that out. All right, one last story because we got guests to get to in just a moment. But there's another tech thing that I noticed.
I love the tech. Thank you, Noticer.
A Google app can now teach your child math. Google Lens, and tell me what you think about this. Google Lens is a high-tech app that launched back in 2017, uses artificial intelligence to detect and interpret objects around the user. Google recently announced it is adding a homework function to the app, which is only available on Android. They write on the app that the new tool is designed for students, families, and teachers who have navigated learning from home with grace and resilience. It works using technology from the mobile Learn app called Socratic, which Google acquired last year. Once the homework filter is available, it'll be able to highlight text on a page, which users can then tap for more information. For example, so I guess you use the camera feature and put it on a math equation, and you do tap on it, and it will show a step-by-step guide on how to solve it, as well as the answer.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you can also, listen, you can, it's not as easy as that. It sounds like as simple as just, you know, putting your camera on it, but you can just type in equations into Google and it'll give you the answer anyway.
So what is the benefit of this Socratic app?
I guess to help people at home who are becoming teachers.
Right.
And students who need help. So I guess it will show
people
you
want to cheat.
And it doesn't just give you the answer.
Right.
It shows you the process.
How to do
the
that.
Work.
And so when
show your work.
Yeah. Well, that's important when you're doing homework and you have to hand in your work.
I push the enter button.
And
that's my work.
Me too.
Yeah. Like, so with the kids' virtual learning, like, for me, the most important thing is them making sure that they're getting decent, like, math guidance.
Yes.
Because that's the one where you really need to find, all right, well, I don't know how we came to this conclusion.
There's a formula.
I need to know step by step, and I'm not understanding. Like, let's say there's four steps, and you're like, I just don't understand how we got to step three in order to get to this answer. You know, if this can help that, then that's great. Because math for me as a parent has gone well beyond
my comprehension. Imagine just, you know,
somebody
asked you to multiply fractions or something like that now.
I would tell my kids that if I had kids, I'd say there is no such thing as math.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
They're lying.
Wait a minute. You can multiply fractions? Good for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, but you have to find the common denominator and then.
Yeah, see, I don't remember any of that stuff at all. None of it. It has no bearing.
If only there was a handheld device that could do it.
Right, exactly.
You will not have that for the rest of your life available, Steve.
All right, so this is a new app that's going to be available. All right, and that's all that I have time to notice.
Nice notice, sir.
Thank you very, very much. We're going to break and come back in a second after all this noticing, and we're going to get a couple of friends on because we're going to talk to Todd Glass, and we're also going to talk to Mr. Bert Kreischer, who's got a show this weekend in Philly on Sunday. We have your chance to win tickets. I'll get you the details in a little bit. Stay with us.
So, still spending more time at home than not?
Get me out of here!
Well, let us help you make the best of it. Because this weekend, MMR presents a fill-in-the-block house party.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Where we invite ourselves over.
Why are you in my kitchen?
And we bring the music. Around-the-clock blocks of all your favorite bands. We cue up the first two songs and then slot in your request for the third. Rounding out the block. Whether you're deep into a best 2 out of 3 Monopoly game, tackling a French recipe off the internet, or working your way through a cold six-pack while harvesting the backyard garden, have us over this weekend. We'll for sure wear a mask. MMR's Fill in the Block House Party.
Now that's what I'm talking about!
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your block off.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to play a song. What's going on here? There it is. I hit the wrong button. And now his song plays.
I thought I had a new intro. I did too. That must be the Euro mix.
What was that I started to
play? Is that money?
Oh, that was a police officer pulling a man out of a wheelchair before he gets hit by a train.
Well, Todd did that. Todd was that police officer.
Yeah,
he's an auxiliary police officer. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to talk about his valor on the job, but there was a man in a wheelchair on the train tracks, and Todd... As Todd does, goes out on patrol, takes it upon himself to do it. And it was just amazing.
There's nothing this man can't do.
There's nothing.
Please welcome Todd Glass.
Yeah!
Hey, Todd.
Thank you. I appreciate the story, Steve. You got it a teeny bit wrong.
Oh, did I?
I'm not proud of this. I was on an hallucinogenic, if I say that word right, drug, and I pushed a man into the wheelchair.
Oh, my God. So you actually pushed the man in the wheelchair onto the train tracks.
Onto the train track. But talk about good people in life. I don't know if you heard this story. You probably didn't. There was a cop there, and he pulled him out of
there. Wow. Yes. Good things happen.
That must be what that audio is. Then I misspoke. You were attempting to kill him, but... Yes. But then this other gentleman, a woman rescued him, a police officer. So, cool.
I should say. First of all, I want to say, and I'm not trying to start trouble, I swear, you know Kathy, after she heard Marissa do that news, is pooping all over her pants.
Yeah. Well, she's back next week, but I think that she hears that level of precision, and I think there is a bit of sweat going on.
Oh, she's pooping all over. Sweat. She is literally poops flying everywhere. Her parents, whoever she's with. Kathy, what's wrong? What's wrong? Did you just hear Marissa do the traffic? Oh, God, I'm screwed.
I love you, Todd, but I'm pretty sure she just knows she has job security for the rest of her life after she listens to me do them.
Well, that's what she told me. She a while back, personally, she said, don't ever repeat it. She goes, Todd, they could never fire me. She goes, I have some stuff on them which would make your head feel swirl.
Well, isn't that what entertainment is essentially about, what you have on other people?
Right. That's my problem. Thank you, Steve.
Am I right?
First of all, how is everybody? You're all good?
We're doing great.
Everybody's healthy?
Yeah.
We're all good. Yeah.
Nick, are you there?
No, Nick is not here.
Both he and Kathy have today off, but they'll be back with us on Monday.
Oh, good. Yeah. You know, I realized, first of all, let me let you lead the interview. I'm different now. I'm not the wild, crazy guy I used to be.
We sense you're more contemplative. You're more, because I was looking at your Twitter page, and you have an extreme adoration for Mr. Rogers. And are we seeing the beginning of a new Mr. Rogers for a new generation in Todd Glass?
People have told me for years that I'm the new Mr. Rogers. Well, actually, I told myself that. But that's not the point of the story.
No.
Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. And I actually like it when things get really bad, whatever it is in life. And I like it because it's tangible. It's like things are bad. It doesn't make them get better. But if you remember to look for how, you know, just when we can see how bad we can be as a species, you have to search for the people that show us how good we can be as a species. And, you know, if you go on even Twitter or YouTube, there's so many videos that remind us of that. Bom, 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 bom.
That was beautiful. Actually, I love what you're doing on, speaking of Twitter, there's, it's sort of a modern art way to do your stand-up, and it's you, your head through a vertically rectangular window, and you're delivering comedy through that window. I don't know what you're delivering that comedy into. Is it another room, or what is it? If it's in, it looks like, well, it's another room.
My friend Scott Moran, he is a producer, and he would just, because people wanted to be safe, so he would just come over your house. And he would, from outside, so I just had a little window, like in a bathroom window. I thought, oh, that looks sort of funky. Open the window, and you sort of do stand-up. I tape my notes next to the window, and then he's actually coming tomorrow. We're going to do it again, and I'm literally, he's going to be in my yard. I'm going to go up on my roof, because it's safe, you know, we're totally distant.
I mean,
and I'm going to do some.
It sort of looks like it's Dolly-esque comedy.
It looks like laughing, yeah. You know, when they
would the comedy wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look a little like laughing, and it's funny you say that because you can shut the window at the punchline, and it says, all right, that's the punchline.
Yep. Hey,
you guys, by any chance, I sent it to Casey, but only like 10 minutes before we went on. It's this thing, I don't know how to explain it, but picture there's like a 30-foot screen. You go to a soundstage and you do it. It's very safe. The green room is outside. You're not near anybody. Picture if there's like a screen, it's like 30 feet high, and it's wrapped around you in a semicircle. So you go in there to do your stand-up, but they put people up on the screen. So there's you know, there might be 500 people watching, but 30 people they'll put up on the screen. So you hear them. And, you know, with technology today, the sound, it's real time, and there's people laughing. And I did it the other day, and it was amazing.
So this is your super secret comedy show, and you did it over Zoom with those Zoom people. You were getting their ambient feedback, and those, that was your audience, correct?
That was the audience. And it's not that, look, I always say this to people when they go, hey, Todd, should I try that new thing? I'm like, look, nothing's going to be like live stand-up. It will come back.
Yes.
And we'll appreciate it even more. It's going to come back. Things will return to normal. But, but this is in the meantime, and you could have somebody from Chicago, somebody from Hong Kong. So when you, if you go to do one of those, you're not limiting yourself just to that. You know, you can go all over the
place. For many people, Todd, that's their dream show. Somebody from Chicago and somebody from Hong Kong. Right? I mean, there are certain things that work in comedy, and it's that Chicago-Hong Kong sensibility.
You know, it's so funny. Whenever I go to think of where all over the world you can get it, I can never think of that. I always go to Florida. Who the hell wants someone from Florida? Oh, you could go all over the place. You could go from Florida to and then I make up a city because people don't really pay attention. You could be in Florida, or you can be in Connecticut.
Brisbane, Connecticut. No, I know. Usually Timbuktu is one that people like to throw out there, or yeah. Saskatchewan or stuff like that. I know what you're saying, but the experience worked for you. And I think when people see this, and obviously we want to talk about your Netflix special, which has been out, which is great, and we love and remind people that it's there. But people are just chomping at the bit for you know, any iteration of normalcy. And you say, well, we'll get back to live comedy. But still, you're making this work. They're doing the drive-in shows. We have Bert Kreischer coming into town on Sunday to do a drive-in show here. And things are starting to open up. But is this something you think you could carry on doing even when everything returns and you have this as another option?
Well, that's actually a really good question because I said, by the way, when Bert Kreischer did those drive-in shows, I got so jealous. I was like, oh, that's going to be so much fun. I mean, it's different. You just have to pull what's fun out of it. There's, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? It's going to be different. But I think that some of this stuff, like the thing I just sent you that we were talking about where you do a show and they put people up on the screen. You can put a few people on FaceTime. If you're doing a show from your house, you can put them up on the computer, but they're teeny. This is like gigantic. And I think afterwards it will have a life that like we just said, there's some little cities. Let's say you're an act and you never get a chance to go to a city or you go to another country. But you could go there, like, through this and do a show.
So Todd, Todd, think about this. So, like, we were talking about, you know, the celebrities now that are doing Cameo. Yeah, and doing Cameo. You know, we had Gilbert Gottfried in here before the all this stuff struck, and he was pushing his Cameo stuff. So let's say where somebody couldn't, like, per se, hire a Todd Glass to come and do a stand-up thing at a party they were throwing. You could do a Zoom thing where you're performing for a select group of people for a premium price. You can't just phone it in for Todd Glass, and that would make it a potential reality, correct?
No, yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, I started doing the Cameo, too, and at first, you know, you have to morph and you have to make it your own. At first, it's like, hey, you know, Lisa, I know you're turning 30, and your sister Jennifer told me, and some of them it is that, wish someone a happy birthday.
Right.
But once you start doing them a little different, I've actually had fun. Luckily, I have my podcast studio here. The other day, I did one where someone just asked me, you know, to do an old bit. I'm like, yeah, of course, I'll do the old bit. And or could you riff on this a little? So now I just did that for like 5 minutes. But sometimes there have been people on Cameo where they were like four different households. There could be three people in every household. There could be one people.
Right.
But up to four households. And I forget what the price is, but they can you can have someone do a little stand-up. They could do their old routine or you could suggest something. So, and again, if you're going to leave it and go, all right, I'll judge it after I'm done, how close it was to regular stand-up. Or if it's not going to be, there's things that are not as good as regular stand-up, but some things are fun, and while it's going on, you can make the best out of it. I sort of like thinking that there's a few people bored out of their mind somewhere, and if I commit 100%, like, you know, you do stand-up
yes.
for them.
Yeah.
I tell them to turn out their lights. I do. I tell people on that Super Serious show, I love it because the producer, before we performed, like right up my alley, he went on and he told everybody, hey, turn down your lights, everybody. And he knew, like, he would reference people. Hey, a blue shirt.
Yeah.
He would go, bring your lights down. You have a big light. So because to make it feel normal. And I wanted to give it my all. I wanted someone that was craving stand up. To the end of it, go, that actually made me feel that was fun.
That's cool. And I have to ask you also, because you are legendary as a very, you everything in its place, the proper Tupperware, your refrigerator is everything's in order, little OCD action going on. How are you as far as the cleaning and the germophobic stuff? Are you okay? Have you found your happy spot, or are you still in a constant state of panic?
Well, it's a good question because it's not really germs that bother me. Like, you know, I can touch things. And I mean, I've been following the rules. And the way I look at it, look, the less stuff you touch, the better you are. When I wipe off all my groceries before I bring them in the house, was there Corona on my groceries? Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. But I figure, why not? Be careful. Wear my mask. But you have to live a little. But I'm more of an order person. Like, I like things in order, but, so I've been doing okay. You know, I have days where I'm like, I start thinking like, is the world going to end some days? But I will give you some, not that you're calling me for good news, but
we want good news. Yeah.
Good energy out there too. Blake Wexler, Philadelphia comedian. And everybody might have someone like this in their life. Well, Blake Wexler's girlfriend, was put in charge of writing articles only about 5 months ago about the corona. So every day she talks to doctors and scientists. And, you know, I notice when you ask people like that a question, everything they say makes sense. There's always realistic hope. It's not like, oh, well, the world's ending. It's like she has good answers. Sometimes I have to up my game a little. She goes, oh, Todd, I wouldn't do that. Sometimes she goes, oh, you're having people over your house. You're going to be this feet apart. Oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And there's hope and there's promise and you don't have to run scared. I always, when you have questions, because you have some friends, they just hear stuff and they repeat it. Yeah, yep. You know what I heard? If you put cotton balls up your nose, you won't get it.
Right. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything in moderation. And you know, it's, as they say, we'll come out the other end of this. But with the Netflix,
hey, by the way,
go ahead.
If stand up ends, well, two things. One, I've thought this out, guys. I just want you to know, stand up ends. I'll just be like a crazy guy yelling on the corner at people. Like,
oh,
that's what I'll do.
That's perfect for you.
Just see me? Yeah, I'll just be on the corner, like, well, I don't understand. How come when you go to a hotel, they don't put a new
blanket on. Can you believe it? Hey, guess what? People be like, oh, that guy's losing his mind. Like, I'm not losing my mind. I'm a stand-up comedian. May pretend I'm on a stage and it looks right.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually, you'd be a homeless person, but with better material.
I think that.
Yeah.
I'd be the guy yelling, but people would go, you know, the guy that yells on 4th and Market. Of course, I do a Philly reference.
Did you ever do street comedy? Did you ever try that? For a brief period, there was a lot of footage of comedians going out and doing,
yeah,
like they call busking. The musicians go out and do it. Did you ever do that?
Well, another good question. Years ago, about 1990, I started this thing called Mobile Comedian. And there's probably some pictures online. And it was a Jeep. I'll try to explain this real quick. But in the back of the Jeep, I stood. So where the seat was, we took the seat out. You know, that little seat in the back of it. Just a little, like, Jeep. Took the seat out, put a stage. And then there were lights and a PA system. Then I moved it to a little Nissan pickup truck. And I would do shows all over the place, and my friends were all joking me. They're like, Todd, I think it's time to bring back Mobile Comedian.
Right now, as you're adapting to the current situation, yeah, by all means. And again, it's Act Happy is your special on Netflix, which we loved and thought it was great.
And also, real quick before we wrap, because we got to move along, Todd, but what's the HBO series that you got a part in, 10-Year-Old Tommy?
Yeah, it's called, you know what? I'm going to watch it tonight. I haven't even watched it yet. But I read my part, and it's called 10-Year-Old Tommy, and I'm doing 10 episodes. I play the principal. It's just when I got it, I usually get nervous when I get auditions. And I was like, Todd, don't mind F yourself. Just this is a silly part. You're a principal. It's really funny, and I can curse. That's always a plus for me.
It's always a plus.
So I just, in my living room, I didn't even have to go to an audition. I did it over the phone with the producer. You know, I smoked a little bit, just a teeny bit, and I had so much fun. I actually enjoyed the audition. So it's something to do, and it's a voiceover for an animated series, so it's safe. And I don't know when my episodes start, but I was excited. But also, because I know you guys are rapping, but thank you. Always, there's not that many things I don't mind getting up at 5:45 for. I was actually excited about this.
Oh, well, we appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely.
I want to leave on a positive. The good thing about the masks, having to wear masks, are that now finally people know if their own breath smells.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good point.
Yep. You don't have to do the hand over your mouth thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No wonder nobody wanted to be around me. My breath is...
There you go.
And now we know.
You always see the positive.
And now we know.
We appreciate it.
All right, Todd, awesome to speak with you, sir. We will catch up soon, okay?
Yes, and happy birthday to anyone celebrating a birthday today.
Of course. Of course, yes.
1 week away.
That's so kind.
Thank you, Todd. We love you. Todd Glass, guys. Todd Glass. All right, see you, man.
He always remembers the people celebrating birthdays.
He doesn't, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I love this jingle so much. And I heard the jingle, and then I felt so bad that our next guest didn't have a jingle that I actually ran into the other studio.
Did you do a jingle?
I was wondering why you left.
I was like, oh, my God, I got to do it.
You took your headphones.
I got to do a jingle for this. So, listen, the quality's not that great.
Well,
you know?
Understand.
I just did it on the fly.
Before I roll it, was he up all night?
He tried to.
Okay. Because I saw you watching a video of him earlier talking about
somebody,
us and the fact that he's got to do radio.
They dared him to. I don't know if he made it or not.
All right. Well, he should be happy because we have a jingle for him.
Yeah.
None of us have heard this. Casey literally left the studio during the Todd Glass interview and I guess recorded this. So here we go. Wow. That's the United States Air Force theme.
And you know what? He is every bit the military.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Bert Kreischer is on the line.
Hey,
Bert.
Bert. Very impressive. Very
impressive. No, it wasn't.
No, it was terrible.
Not at all. Have you been up all night, man? Bert? Uh-oh.
Yes, what's up, guys?
Hey, bud.
We already lost you.
I was asking, did you stay up all night?
I am so hungover right now.
Oh, no.
I have no idea.
All right, we'll keep this short.
Yeah.
This is true love. When you stay... I got a $200 worth of McDonald's last night, and I tore through about 40 nuggets.
And I'm telling you right now, I am better, worse for wear right now.
Well, we appreciate it. There, you know, we're just a quick touching base before Sunday, and you know, I don't know if you heard, but we were talking to Todd Glass, and Todd was saying how envious he was of you jumping on this drive-in comedy tour as early as you did, because they thinks it's genius, and everyone's looking forward to it. So when you go from town to town, what's your protocol? Are you I know, because you have shows you're working on as well. You got that the TV show that you're working on. So are you getting tested every couple of days, or what's going on?
I did a test myself. I did the nasal swab that goes to the back of your brain to myself yesterday. To myself. You have any idea what that's like? It's horrible.
Sounded like a little puke came up with that.
It did, yeah.
Just a little bit. Yeah. I'm doing tests every other day because I'm doing a TV show in like 7 days.
Yeah.
And then I do a test every single day.
Okay.
These tests are killing me, bro. And you know what they say? The number one thing is, do you feel symptoms? And you're like, no, I don't feel symptoms. I'm like, oh, you probably don't have it. And you're like, just do the test anyway. And then you brain. Oh, I wish I'm saving my language because it's so horrible. But I.
But it's like a fondue stick you're sticking up your nose. Yeah. So you're.
Oh, they got a red mark on the line, and they're like, you got to go to the red mark, and the red mark is down where your fingers are. So you're literally just going. They go. Keep going. You're gonna feel it stop, and when you feel it stop, lean your head back, tilt it, and keep going. Oh. And it is.
Dude, have you ever had the endoscopy where they put the hose up through your nose and down your throat?
Horrible.
Have you ever
Listen. I grew up back when it was okay to assault children. And the gag was, hey man, the hose is broken. See if you can blow in it to make it work. And you'd be like, huh, what? And then you just blow in the hose.
Right.
And your uncle would crank it on, and you get waterboarded.
Yes.
Waterboarded.
You've been there. So, but we're looking forward to everything. There's a high level of excitement, and you know how quickly this sold out. And so, have you done any of these? When was the last one of these you did?
Last night.
It was last night. I didn't know it was this kind of show.
I'm doing shows every single night. I'm doing two shows a night.
I've only done
6 nights. It's amazing. These are amazing. These are so much fun. Everyone is tailgating. They are setting up lawn chairs, they're setting up couches, they're opening up the back of their trucks, they're enjoying it the way America would enjoy an event. I'm telling you, I love this so much, I may not go back. I am being dead serious. I may not go back. You walk out to a crowd and you see, I'm telling you, it makes my heart swell. You see Americans loving an event and tailgating the way only Americans, they're not doing this in ISIS. It is so much fun.
There is no tailgating with ISIS. You're right.
They're not doing this in ISIS. They're only doing this in America. And I'm telling you, I feel like I'm the only American. I'm the only comic with new jokes. I love my brand new hour. I love my brand new hour. I have the greatest. Oh, I can't even tell the joke, but it's the greatest joke about my wife and freshness and whatnot.
You actually told us last time, we just talked to you recently, we just wanted to get this last hit before the show on Sunday, but you said you have perhaps the best coronavirus joke of all time, and so we...
Oh, I have the best coronavirus joke. I have the best coronavirus joke, and I have the best... I don't know how to say this properly. I have the best new joke about my wife and I having... oral pleasures.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I am so happy to be on the road right now. It feels so good. I texted Rogan last night and I go, just so you know, to have a brand new joke that works, that kills, and to be excited about it, that is the feeling I miss about stand up. And him, Segura, and Ari were all like, oh my God, I am so jealous. I don't have any new jokes.
Oh.
I love being back on the road.
Yeah, you got to. It's a muscle that you have to work, and it's good that you can do that.
And I love that you are so forthcoming with information and jokes about your family. Are they receptive to all this stuff?
You know, this may not work out well. I'm not sure.
Well, that's why you stay on the road so much. Because you don't want to go home and face
Yes, distance lens enchantment.
Oh, yeah. With the new tax increase, we're volleyballing back and forth the idea about a trial separation to see how that works. And then maybe I missed the Austin with Rogan.
Yeah. Hey, Bert, I do have to ask because, and listen, everybody's bought their tickets, so you don't have to worry about anything like that, but... What if it rains? Do you still do the show?
Oh, we had to cancel the show because of lightning the other night.
All right, so and, lightning might be an issue.
Lightning's the only issue. If the lightning's within 7 miles, then we have to stop down. And when I waited for 4 hours, we did like, literally it was like 2 a.m. I went out and I told everyone I had to cancel and they were bummed. They were very cool. Yeah, rain's not an issue. Lightning's the issue.
Like, all right. Lightning's the only issue.
I've done shows with rain. I had a mosquito fly down my throat last night.
A mosquito fly down your throat.
So it's bizarre. I'm sweating aggressively on stage, but whatever.
All right. Well, we're going to be there. We've we're hosting the show. We get a chance to in a very strange way introduce you or make stage announcements. But we're not going to be on stage. We're going to be somewhere with a microphone, and we'll be speaking to people on their car radios, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
Don't you guys do that already?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I know.
Never at a live comedy show, though.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're definitely.
They told me that when they canceled my show because of lightning, they're like, hey, we can give you a mic and you can talk in their radios. And I got so excited. I was like, right into their cars? And I must have felt like Vespucci, or what's the guy's name who created radio? Like,
Marconi.
I was like, this is better than podcast. Into their car?
That's great. We're completely looking forward to it.
Oh,
and it's actually going to be, the temperature, you won't be sweating so much. It's going to be, I think it's only going to be in the 70s.
75 degrees, yeah. That's the high.
Oh, I have a radar app. I watch the radar aggressively.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah, we want you to get some sleep. We want you to be well rested. You got another show tonight. You're doing like 7 nights in a row.
Dude.
And Philadelphia's going to be last set of the every night in a row thing. So you ought to be nice and slap happy by the time you get here on Sunday.
Yeah, whatever they tell you the rules are, make sure that you make yourself comfortable. Yeah. If they say no booze, enjoy yourself. If they say no drugs, enjoy yourself. If they say no cigarettes, enjoy yourself. And pack up, have a good time, tailgate. I will see you in Philly. I am so excited. Thank you, guys. I miss you guys.
We'll
see you on Sunday. We love you, man. Take care. Thanks for the call, bud. We'll see you. All right, Bert Kreischer. Yeah. I didn't want to keep him too long because
he's a hard life. Man.
He's living on.
Jesus.
He's just burning at both ends.
You're right. Looking,
so Steve, yeah,
I'm looking
at
the schedule, Preston. I'm looking at the dates.
He started on the 10th. He did Wichita on the 10th, Kansas City on the 11th, Memphis on the 12th, Louisville, Kentucky last night. Tonight he does Columbus, Ohio, Pittsburgh on the 15th, and then Sunday he's doing Philly.
Get this.
Then he has one day off, and then he goes to Cape Cod and then back down to Oceanport, New Jersey.
That's insane.
And that's for as hard as he goes, as far as not just doing the show, hanging out, partying with people and all that stuff. I don't know how he's doing it.
I just want to see that bus again. The Bert Kreischer bus.
Yes.
It's so freaking funny.
I wish we would have had time to go in it
and
check it out, but we had to go. It was at the Cardboard Classic, and we had to go straight from the E2000 Lounge to the Hill, and he was already over there with their sled and everything.
And that was 1 week before the coronavirus existed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 week before that.
I went on it while we were on the air.
Okay. Was it nice?
Is awesome. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Because everyone was like coming out of bedrooms and rooms because he has like 6 guys on there with him.
Yeah.
All those guys. And if you follow him on Instagram, he posts videos from the bus all the time. But I mean, it was like a total like dude bachelor pad. There's just bottles and crap and wrappers everywhere. But it was gorgeous inside there.
Nice. So we're going to be there. Obviously, like I said, so if you are going to the show, you'll be tuning in on your radio. I don't know if I'm going to be in my car and you're going to be in your car. And
we have no idea yet.
I have no idea how this is going to work out.
I mean, because we, listen, well, however it is, we'll do it. But it'll be weird, but fun.
I'm taking my son, Carter. He's a huge Kreischer fan.
Yeah.
So He's stoked about it, and it'll be interesting. I've never experienced anything quite like this before. I'm looking forward to it.
Never this.
Yeah.
No, there's never been a show of this nature. But we were talking about yesterday with the setup that they had done over in England for I think it was a country concert,
yeah,
country music.
Yeah, it was a concert or festival or something
right.
like that.
And that setup, and we all agreed, pandemic or no,
yeah,
that would be the way to see just about any show.
Well, I'm surprised that it took this long to come up with a plan, because you got to, like, you're looking at, like, all these industries that have been affected, and, like, Live Nation saw, like, basically a 98% drop in business, which yeah. is just
yeah.
insane, right? And you got to figure, but you also have to make sure that that a majority of the people are comfortable with it, right? Even
right.
the people that aren't going or have no plans on going, that they're comfortable enough that they're not going to raise a stink. You
but
know
think
what I mean?
About this. So everything comes back, all right? We get to where we need to be, where people are comfortable, whether it's a vaccine or whatever, whatever makes people
right.
comfortable, you have to respect people's feelings on that. So we're at a place that's approximately where we were before, and venues are open up and people are going. I would see no reason to close down these sorts of venues and options that have been created
yeah.
that allow people this deal. Why not?
Yeah. I guess the only issue would be it's a little more production cost. It's probably fewer people that pay for tickets. So that might make it a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but in some cases, like outdoor comedy shows, and because yeah. people are looking for creative ways.
Something different.
Yeah, so something where you can get pulled off the stage.
Yeah, exactly.
The Man is going to start doing drive-in movies.
Yeah. Drive-in movies?
Yeah.
Because they used to do the concert playing along with the... remember they're doing Lord
yes.
of the Rings and all that stuff?
But by drive-in, do you mean in your car?
It's got to be in the parking lot.
Yeah,
it can't be at the actual venue
yeah.
itself.
They have that huge parking lot right mm-hmm. in front of it.
Right.
So maybe they're setting it up there.
Okay.
I think the next one's
all right. That could work.
Yeah. So, you know, people will get in creative.
Yep. All right. So listen, rain we can deal with, just not lightning. So that's what we'll keep
all
on.
Right.
That's what I wanted to find out from him. If it rained a little bit, I can't see him canceling.
No,
show.
Not a problem. But I'll be effing furious if we get lightning.
Yeah, we'll see about that. All right. Listen. Good to talk to Bert. Good to talk to Todd. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Speaking of Bert's show, at the end of the program this morning, we're going to have a chance to win a carload, which is four people, to go to that and be at the show on Sunday at the Citizens Bank Park. And by the way, there's a bunch of other shows taking place. The Struts is one of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can go to WMMR.com. You can get the details on tickets and also the do's and don'ts. That's important as well. If you're going to be going to the show, make sure that you are playing by the rules so that you can stay for the show and make sure you don't miss out on it.
How do you bounce a car out of
Where?
A venue?
A tow truck.
Yeah.
I guess so. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Some bizarre file stories are on the way for you.
MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured.
MMR rocks.
Metallica in concert this Saturday night at 7. We're all jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series.
Sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show.
This week, Metallica.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Not your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
I have to point out that Marissa has her fans, without question.
Oh, yeah.
She's
really,
in
yeah.
here doing the traffic. Yes, either they hate
Aww.
Kathy or they love Marissa.
Aww.
I'm not sure which it is.
It's the only two ways.
Yeah.
You've got to hate one and love the other. But they appreciate the attributes you bring.
Thank you. You can hate both of us, too.
Yeah.
You can also
love both of
us.
Yeah.
There's room for love. For both of these ladies, of course. But we should do a popularity contest.
Oh, no, my God, don't. No.
Lose that so bad. But thank you
that.
For all of the kind messages. I appreciate it.
Yep. So, yeah, Kathy and Nick will be back on Monday with COVID and the way vacations worked out. We had some plans were in place well in advance of all this, and some plans couldn't be changed. And so, therefore, we try to all take the exact same vacation days
so
we can.
We don't end
years,
up, yeah.
For all these years we have, this is the only year that it's really ended up otherwise.
Well, you heard with Pierre, right? He canceled his vacation. I think he was going to be on vacation for next week.
Was he?
Yeah, I mean, he was where he was going to. They couldn't because of the turnaround and quarantining, and you had 14 days and so on and so forth. He's like, I have it.
I was supposed to be in Costa Rica last week. yeah. was supposed to be there. We had bid on this prize
for a charity
at a charity event, and we got it. And we were all excited. Yeah, this badass place for pretty damn cheap. Because
yeah.
when you bid on those things, if you come in low and nobody beats you, you can get these things for a steal.
It's the big secret. So what we encourage you, when things come back online and there are things like these charity events and these things that we tell you to go to, you're exactly right, Preston. My yeah. wife plays the odds on those things all the time. And you go with a couple people, you'll get killer trips for like nothing.
Yep.
Steve, I was at a golf outing where there was a trip. It was a safari in Africa.
A safari.
Mm-hmm. Nobody was bidding on it. I'm calling my wife. I'm like, dude, we can go to Africa for $1,000. I'm like, you know? She's like, no.
And that's everything.
I mean,
yeah.
No, there was something.
They didn't throw in everything?
No. Listen, I might have had to pay. Might have not included
for zebra food.
No. It might not have included airfare, right? Oh, so, right. you know, and airfare is, you know, a nice chunk of change.
Rip
but
off.
The 8-day safari, you know, for $1,000 is that's like an $8,000-$10,000
yeah.
trip.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't want to go to Africa. I was like, you know what? Really?
Casey, my family, actually my aunt and uncle and cousin went on that one. So
really?
They work at like, you know, Mainline Health, Comcast, a law firm respectively. So they attend a lot of those charity events and they waited until one time that it was at its lowest and they bid on it and they were actually able to add some more trip onto it.
Crazy.
And they said it was one of the best trips of their life. Mm. But Preston, you reminded me that I was supposed to be in the Greek island right
Yes,
now.
You were, weren't you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Supposed to be attending
Sorry.
A wedding.
No sad, bro, but yeah, you were supposed to be in Greece.
The more we talk, the more we're giving ourselves reasons to be sad, and we should not have this.
No.
I mean, we all, my friends and I, all just kind of, at the beginning of you know, this pandemic, nobody quite knew what was going
sure.
on, so we all kind of kept an eye on the flight and the prices. It never went down a dollar.
Really?
Yeah, it was still like $1,500 to go to the Greece Islands in August. It's
we're
going to
go stay in Greek.
Yeah. That's
going to
like,
the Greece Islands.
The Greek trip was cheaper.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, anyhow.
No sad, bro.
No sad, bro. Here we are all together once again. I do want to point out there is a new Daily Rush video that is up, and it is Bono's Safe Light commercial.
Oh.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace, right?
Yeah.
I finally now, after hearing you guys sing that over and over, I finally now see the commercial.
Do you want to try to sing it with us?
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Ready to go?
2, 3, 4.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace. Man, it's easy to nail.
Yes, it is.
At least it never sounded better.
So it says in the description, Bono and the Edge got a bustle in their hedgerow and now need their windshield replaced. So you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. And it is sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. All right, we're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Thought I lost my B-files. Here we go. Brought to you this morning by HERS. You can pick up specially marked bags of HERS today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details at summer.hers.com. HERS, forever good. Tara Busker. This is a terrible story. She's okay, though. Was injured by a boat propeller. Never good. After falling off the bow of her pontoon boat. So this is apparently something that people do. On a pontoon boat on the very, very front, there's a little kind of a gate that goes around, but on the outside of it, there's a little piece of deck.
Right.
And some people will sit on the front of that.
Not wise.
And that is where she was. She said the takeaway is never ride on the front of a pontoon. As much as it looks like a lot of fun, it's not worth it. It was 4th of July. She and her 3-year-old niece were sitting on the pontoon's bow. With Tara's legs hanging over the edge, Tara's husband slowly steered the boat through a no-wake zone. Somebody came by the no-wake zone. They were going too fast and made a big wave. Tara said it grabbed my feet, and because I had my arm around her, it pulled both of us under the boat. Tara's niece was tucked in front of her and made it through the tunnel between the boat's two floats. But Tara's back came in contact with the propeller.
Holy hell.
Yeah, right.
So how badly was it torn up?
So her family members came to her aid. She was airlifted to a hospital, punctured lung, 4 broken vertebrae, and 4 ribs broken or shattered.
She could have easily been killed.
Yep. Doctors used 27 staples to close her back up. A month after the incident, she is still undergoing physical therapy. She said a few centimeters and I would have had a severed spine. She's not the first person to fall in front of a pontoon. It's a relatively common accident, said an expert. Perhaps 150 accidents up through 2015.
Do you remember the when Preston with the speedboats and powerboats? when the all the rage became to put that compartment in front of the driver, in front of the there was like a compartment right up on the bow of the boat.
Yeah.
And people would sit in it. And it was sort of a shallow area. A lot of times people would launch out of those
things. Hit a wave and boom, fly up out of there. You got to be careful. Boating accidents always sound terrible to me.
The prop.
Aspiring barristers have claimed that they were forced to urinate in bottles and buckets in front of their laptops while taking their online bar exams remotely. The students said that they were told that they could fail their 2-hour and 45-minute paper if they left their seats or did not maintain screen eye contact.
So to stop them from cheating.
This is in England, yeah.
But what if all the answers are written on their penis?
The bar, well, you can't look down at it.
Oh.
The Bar Standards Board said that it had provided straightforward guidance. Some students
had... What if your penis is so huge that you can keep it on the table?
Some students had to use the receptacles while being monitored by remote...
Wow.
Invigilator. I guess an invigilator is a
futuristic warrior sent into the past to kill the...
I didn't know that.
The invigilator.
No. I thought it was somebody who just watched to make sure that they're not cheating.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Through webcams. One student described the situation as ridiculous. Sophie Lamb, who studies at the BPP University Law School in Leeds, said she was forced to use a bucket as a toilet while she sat in front of her laptop in her kitchen during the test.
But that makes sense because... Yeah. Because how would you maintain any sort of control in that testing environment when everyone's taking the test from home?
She said, to be honest, it was a bit ridiculous, the fact that this is an organization that is meant to be promoting our ethical standards, but also our welfare.
They're pissing and taking dumps in buckets.
She said, I had to put the bucket under the chair, and I was wearing a long dress and had to squat down, but to make sure my face was still on camera. The professional ethics exam, which was set by the Bar Standards Board, is one of three centralized tests that they must sit as part of the bar professional training course. Another student, Tian Juan C, said that he had to urinate in a bottle while maintaining eye contact with the laptop screen. So he would not be accused of cheating. And also, he pleaded with them to use a bathroom, but he said he was forced to empty the contents of the bottle on the carpet to make space. Because you know, if you have a bottle too small,
that's it.
That's it. You got to pour it out and keep peeing.
I wonder if you could have pre-recorded yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Like in those heist movies?
Like in those heist movies where,
yeah, where it's like on a loop.
Right. And there's just like for a nanosecond, just a little glitch.
Yep. Let's see. Here's a story. I got this out of Vice. Back in May, they wrote about a group of gun enthusiasts. And I've never heard of this, who love taking pictures of loaded weapons pointing at their own penises, like at their own crotch. Okay, so this is a thing, Steve.
What?
Yeah. So on a long enough timeline, one of them was inevitably going to accidentally discharge their weapon. And on Tuesday, that appears to be exactly what happened to one member in the San Diego area. According to bloody pictures and video he posted on social media, and the Imperial County Sheriff's Office, which confirmed the incident.
I cocked my gun, then gunned to my... No, I guess.
Rather than step back and start questioning whether the practice is wise, the group made this guy an administrator and are now celebrating him as their king.
Oh, my God!
Oh, idiots.
On August 11th, a member of the group called Loaded Guns pointed at Venus, with the B is kind of in parentheses, posted...
That's like Wilford Brimley.
Posted a video. This guy posted a video of himself pointing a loaded handgun at his junk. There's a brief pause before the gun discharges. The original video of the man shooting himself in the balls is subsequent thread has been deleted, but members of the group captured the video
and they made him king.
And re-uploaded it, yeah.
My balls!
So this is according to, let's see. Oh, yeah, he wrote himself. He wrote, "Hey, boys, I might have effed up." This is the guy who shot himself in the nuts. He wrote above a picture of his naked legs and splattered blood on the carpet of his floor. A towel is stuffed between his legs and a printed out copy of the Constitution is crumpled on the edge of the photo. The guy posted through the incident as he was bleeding.
Oh, my God.
And he wrote, "God's caliber," and then in parentheses, 45, "went through my scrotum, mattress, box spring, and floor."
Shot himself in the balls with a 45?
Yes, he did. Originally, a man thought he had just grazed his balls, but a subsequent hospital visit told a different story. He said, "Turns out it wasn't a graze. That round went right the F through me.
What I thought were two graze wounds turned to be an entrance and exit wound.
So did he clear both of the testes?
That I don't know.
Oof. That's a trick shot.
He didn't respond to a request for comment, but an admin for loaded guns pointed at Venus said that he was doing well. He said, the reason that we are calling him King, this said in a Facebook message, is partially because the poor guy already shot himself. Don't think he needs to be chastised as well. Oh, yes, he does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm quite sure it says he's learned his lesson without the entire world calling him an idiot. So I read a little bit more into this, and the whole point that the reason that these guys do this is because they're kind of thumbing their noses at people who promote gun safety in keeping your finger off the trigger and keeping the barrel pointed away from anybody or anything. And so they're kind of thumbing their noses at those.
To be reckless with firearms.
They're just the stupidest.
You'll end up shooting your balls off.
People in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And they decided to make this guy their king. So,
oh, my balls.
I guess they deserve it. And there you go. That is what we have in today's Bizarre File. Yes, Marissa.
All right. We got a check-in from the guy who texted us this morning who said he is a little sad because it was Friday, but it was just because he had to wake up and go to work. So I think he's doing better
now. No sad bro guy. Okay, yeah. So he's doing better. Good. I'm happy to hear that. I hope everybody has.
Absolutely.
No sad bro-itis this morning. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to see if you've been paying attention. We'll do that in the form of a lesson question from today's program. We'll also get into the trash and the music news. So stay close. We ain't going to be gone long.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Getting really, really close to giving away our tickets to see Bert Kreischer on Sunday, live in drive-in. We just talked to Bert a little while ago. We kept it nice and short. Bert was up. He was so hungover and wiped out. He's doing 7 nights in a row of these outdoor shows, and Philly's going to be last of the 7. Then he gets one night off, and he does a couple more.
Yeah.
But he says he has the greatest jokes he's so proud of.
Whole new set, whole new hour.
Yep.
He's amazing, man. You know, honestly, when he started, he was more of a character than a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And the stand-up came later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's taken to it. He's just great.
Yep, absolutely. So listen up, because we'll do that at the end of the show with the Letter of the Day Award of the Week prize. In the meantime, we have a different prize to give away. It's a digital download of The King of Staten Island. And you have to answer a question about something that took place in the program earlier today. Let's see if you were listening, because the question I have for you is this. According to Bill Weston, what happened in Royersford last night at the Big J. Okerson show? What broke out? 215-263-WMMR. According to Bill Weston, what happened in ROFO last night at the Big J. Okerson show? What broke out? Let's see if you know. While you're calling in, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what's going on this morning?
Well, AMC Theaters planning to reopen their theaters on August 20th with 15-cent tickets as part of a one-day promotion. In addition, the theaters will be selling large popcorns for $9.
Hey!
Finding Freedom, the tell-all book about the royal family, revealing that Prince Charles has a framed photo of himself side-by-side with Meghan Markle on the day of her wedding. The book reveals the photo sits next to a large tub of lube and tissues. And finally, Andrew Lloyd Webber, volunteering to test a COVID-19 vaccine so that, quote, theaters can finally reopen safely. Webber performed a similar gesture before the opening of Cats when he volunteered to be neutered. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if you were listening. And we have a question about the program earlier today. What happened in Royersford last night, according to Bill Weston? And I will go to Mike to see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, Mike, what happened last night in ROFO?
A carfuffle.
Yes. Correct, Mike. Hang on the line. Did we ever have Jim Jackson say kerfuffle? Was that one of his words?
I think we might have.
Okay, I think so. Yeah. All right, Mike, hang on the line. We are going to set you up with a digital download. The King of Staten Island, celebrated comedy director Judd Apatow, and SNL's Pete Davidson, critically acclaimed heartfelt comedy, is now available to own on digital. And it is available August 25th on Blu-ray and DVD. Let's get into some music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Oh, mama!
Brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. The hometown favorite, Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. From their family of owners to yours, available at Acme, ShopRite, Wegmans, Redner's, Walmart, and Sam's Club. System of a Down frontman Serge Tankian will release a new solo EP. It's called Elasticity this fall.
They love words like that, don't they?
They do.
Synchronicity, elasticity.
Tankian was recently seen filming a video for what is said to be the album's first single, Roomy. Back in May, he described the EP as a collection of rock songs that were first meant for System of a Down. He told Spin, originally, I had these songs in mind for a System record. If we were going to end up doing a System record. But as we could not really see eye to eye on how to go forward with that, I decided to finish them off myself and release them as an EP. So that's
there.
Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello is set to release a photo memoir entitled Tom Morello, Whatever It Takes. He said about the photo memoir, over the past couple of years, I have been hard at work putting together an incredibly comprehensive photo memoir of my life as a musician and activist titled Whatever It Takes, and I'm proud to announce that it will be coming out this October. And you can pre-order the book now at TomMorelloBook.com. Metallica's non-profit company, All Within My Hands, has partnered with the work boot company Wolverine and a new line of boots and trade school scholarship funding.
The whole idea of trade schools, it's a good thing.
The new boot brands, Metallica Scholars 1,000 Mile Axle and Hellcat Ultra Spring, are now available for pre-order, with all proceeds benefiting All Within My Hands Foundation to further support the skilled trades. Pre-order fulfillment and live sales begin on August 26th. Wolverine boots are really good.
They're excellent.
Yeah, I almost bought a pair.
I usually get them with high heels.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Steel toes and high heels.
Nice. That's a great album.
That is an awesome album. Steel toes and high heels.
Yeah. Who would put that out? Evanescence?
No, maybe like Hailstorm? Or...
Steel toes and high heels.
I like that.
Dorothy. Yeah. Actually, Dorothy's coming out with a new album. And she had gone on Twitter asking, hey, what should
send
I name my new album?
Send that title out. Let's help her out.
Send it to Lizzie Hale, too. Yeah. That would be really good. Steel toes and high heels. You heard it right here.
Yeah.
Remember, Aloha.
So they used to end a Y5O.
Okay. Wolverine, this is according to James Hetfield. He said in a statement announcing the partnership, Wolverine shares the same vision that we had when creating Metallica Scholars Initiative, that it's incredibly important create and sustain a strong and resilient American workforce. And All Within My Hands is our way of giving back and building future generations. More importantly, we are helping these students achieve their dreams and transform their lives through the workforce education programs offered at community colleges all across the country.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
That's a Wolverine song.
Oh, kind of, yeah. Yeah. All right. In celebration of its classic 1990 song, Wind of Change, you remember the song from the Scorpions?
I do remember that, yes.
They're releasing a deluxe box set based around the song on October 3rd. The beloved power ballad, which appeared on the band's Crazy World album, has been called the soundtrack to the fall of the Berlin Wall. And the new box set features five versions of the song, including Klaus Meine's original demo on CD and LP. It also includes an 84-page hardcover book with rare and previously unseen photographs, vocal and piano arrangements, and even a piece of the Berlin Wall itself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Winds of Change was the title of the original song, right?
I believe so, okay. Yes. And it's the one where he whistles in the beginning.
Yeah. Silent But Freedom was the other title.
Klaus Meine said in a statement, in times of COVID-19 and all the wild conspiracy theories, in these extremely trying times, Wind of Change is like a hug, a good friend from a time when the hope for a peaceful world seemed to be fulfilled.
You get a guy who can't whistle.
The dream of peace lives on in this song, he says.
That's pretty cool that they include an actual piece of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, I love it.
I wonder how many pieces, because obviously it's a massive piece of history. I wonder how many of those little chunks, some sort of entrepreneur decided, let me get grab as much of this as I can, and well, I wonder how much exists.
We stayed at a resort, I've told you guys about it before, called the Nemacolin, Western PA. And they have a large, 10-foot-tall...
chunk of the wall?
Chunk of the wall there that you can check out. It's behind glass and everything, and it's got the graffiti on it. And
this
stuff
is
like
the Demogorgon?
So, no, it's not the Demogorgon. It's the Nemacolin.
Oh, okay. And it was, in the lobby?
No, it was outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so a lot of people got their hands on this stuff. But I guess if you take just a tiny little itty-bitty crumb of it, there might be a lot of it to go around. I don't know. One last story. Duff McKagan's Southern California home is for sale. His wife, Susan, shared the listing for the $1.45 million beach house on Twitter. That doesn't sound like that much.
But when you see how small the place is, it's like, of course.
It's got to be,
It's where it is that matters.
The official listing says the 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home has a, quote, sweet disposition.
Which means it's small and impractical.
Yeah, it's tiny, and you'll never fit you and your family
and
in
you'll
there.
Rue the day you ever moved in.
That is all I have in music news for you.
That's more than enough.
Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's hand the reins to this beast called WMMR over to Pierre Robert, and we'll give you a chance to win our Word of the Week prize when we get back, too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang. Obviously, this year's been very different.
No, really? You don't say.
Anyway, the 15th annual I Bleed for Presidency Blood Drive is a go. But it's going to be a bit different, too.
It's happening Friday, August 21st.
And there will be 3 donation centers. The Fillmore in Philadelphia.
The Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks.
And the FOP Lodge in Northeast Philly.
The Red Cross is always in need, but especially so during this health crisis. So make your appointment at WMMR.com now.
Listen, the process is safe, and it follows all social distancing guidelines, which is why both appointments and face masks are mandatory.
Register for our I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive. And yes, you'll get the newest Preston and Steve t-shirt as our thanks.
From the American Red Cross, Penn Jersey Blood Services Region,
and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
The weekend upon us here at MMR. By the way, it's going to be a fill-in-the-block house party weekend this weekend, so... you can invite us over via your radio or your smart speaker for blocks of your favorite bands all weekend long. We'll pick the first 2 songs, and then you call or text request to fill in the block with the 3rd one. And it's brought to you by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So that's going to get started later on as we head into the weekend. And you can go to WMMR.com for all events and so on that are going on with the radio station. Just a couple of thank yous. Thank you to Todd Glass.
Todd Glass.
For being on the show. Todd has his his Netflix comedy special, Act Happy, that is out and about. It has been out for 2 years, and he's just promoting it again.
He cracks me up. I love his his faux sincerity. A lot of times he goes into those bits, and I love it.
Yep.
If you haven't seen that bit, it is really good.
Oh, his Netflix special?
It's really good. There is a coordination and a word I'm looking for,
synchronicity.
Synchronicity with the band that he works out, because he's got a band there and they're doing drum rolls and rim shots and all kicks. Of that. It's really, really well thought out and well planned and funny.
Excellent. So watch that. It's on Netflix. Todd's great. And then Bert Kreischer was on the show. And Bert is performing on Sunday, Citizens Bank Park, in the parking lot for a live-in, drive-in event. And Steve and I will be hosting the event. And I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather holds out for it. But Bert just on fumes right now. And he's got a ways to go. But the man can rally like nobody I've ever seen before.
It's unbelievable. So he'll be coming tomorrow night's Pittsburgh. What's tonight?
I don't know. Got rid of the list. So he was in Louisville, Kentucky last night.
Columbus, Ohio.
He's in Columbus tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing all these shows, and he's doing Philly on Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. But it was nice to have Bert on this morning. And thank you to Marissa Magnata. for filling in for not only Kathy, but Nick as well, who have both been out this week. And so she was handling both of those duties here in the studio.
Thank you. It's always fun to be on this side of the glass with you guys for a few days.
Yeah, we see and hear Marissa every day, but sometimes you don't. There are days where we don't get to hear from Marissa on the radio. She's busy on the other side of the glass doing stuff. She reminds you of you, doesn't she?
By God, she does. speaking of which, do you have access to the traffic gadget?
I do. Is there a problem out
well,
there?
Well, going towards King of Prussia, what's that, westbound on Schuylkill, it was all backed up. So I was just going to warn people to...
Westbound,
that's okay. Towards King of Prussia, right, from here?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so it's all backed up.
Long line of traffic. So,
oh, that's so wonderful. Cool.
Whereabouts was that, sir?
I'm your traffic girl. Well, it was right by Bala Cynwyd continuing out towards King of Prussia.
Okay. So up in the curve and all that stuff. That's okay. That's my way home. So thank you, sir.
Well, that's why I'm here.
I appreciate that.
That's why I'm your partner.
That's right, buddy.
All right.
We're going hunting this weekend?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to shoot myself in the balls.
You heard that, did you?
People saying.
I saw that same story, by the way, and I sent it to a few friends. I said, is this from The Onion? I thought it was like some satirical piece or something. Yep. And by God, that guy actually shot himself in that specific region of his anatomy.
Yeah. There are these things, to be fought about. We talked about it a while ago. There was a thing about women holding fish, and that was a big thing. And I can even get that. They were attracted to women. But to hold a gun on your own junk?
A loaded gun.
Your loaded gun.
That's unbelievable.
Excuse me, what? Jury wishes to know what?
Well, this jury of your peers would like to know one last letter for a Word of the Week prize. You ready? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
P as in pepper.
All right, you now have a three-letter word, and we will take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR to tell us what it is. And you might be getting a very, very cool prize. So get on board and give us a call. Right now, do you have some wonderful things planned for today?
Well, yeah. First of all, the Gina Schock interview that we did yesterday is up online at WMMR.com.
I listened to it. Listened to the whole segment. It was great.
She's so fun. And at the end, she says, all right, see ya, hon.
So New York.
Yeah.
Just, I love it.
Well, she's from Baltimore.
Oh. But
Baltimore.
Wait, so were the rest of the girls from New York?
I don't think
They were an L.A. band.
Yeah, they were an L.A.
I was on Twitter while I was watching the beginning of the documentary.
That's
I'm going to go back and rewatch
it. Tut, tut, tut. You can do no wrong in my book. Yeah, she was so cute. She called me hun. But I had an experience with the manager of the she was doing one of those things where they pop from station to station.
Right.
And the guy was going, you got 10 minutes. And I go, I can't do this in 10 minutes.
No.
And then at the end, he goes, Pierre, I gave you 2 extra minutes. So we left all of that in. And then we played your piece, Got to Move On Now.
Right, Got to Move On. Yeah.
Whatever that lady was who was annoying and
sorry, probably, we have to move on.
Yeah, that lady. Anyway, so that's on WMMR.com. We have Workforce Blocks of Bon Jovi, and this was to have been the weekend where Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, Joan Jett, Blackhearts would all have been at Pierre's Good Citizens Park. So we'll do a gigantic combined block of them, get some Bruce in, and see where we go.
It was poised to be such an incredible summer for...
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my God.
There'll be other summers.
The Green Day show and Weezer.
You were going to go to the show.
Yeah, it was going to be...
Green Day is amazing in concert. They're so much fun.
So great.
Very much looking forward
to it. We'll get them next time.
Well, I mean, can you imagine next summer?
Crazy.
They're going to be 17 events every night.
Yeah.
That's true. But anyway. All right, let's see if we can get a winner. We're looking for caller number 7, and it's Jenna. Hello there, Jenna. Wait, hold on. Sorry, I had the wrong button touch. Jenna, good morning.
No, Jenna.
Huh?
Jenna.
Oh, Jenna. Okay, yeah, we said Jenna.
Yeah, that's what I said. Jenna. Hey, Jenna, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Jenna, what's the word?
Zap.
No sad girl.
Yeah. Zap is cool, man.
No sad girl.
Zappa cool, man.
Did you hear?
I heard
Zappa,
that.
Zappa cool.
Zappa cool, man.
Jenna, you have got yourself a ticket for you and 3 friends to see Bert Kreischer on Sunday, presented by the President Steve Show.
Yay! Yes,
congratulations. Hang on. We will get your information, and we will see you there, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Excellent. No problem. Don't forget, it's the live-in, drive-in concert series at Citizens Bank Park in the parking lot. And each ticket is good for one car, maximum four people to enjoy the show from the comfort of your own vehicle. And the show is sold out, of course. But you can go to WMMR.com and get more drive-in concerts and the do's and don'ts for the series. So take a look when you get the opportunity to do so. I have one more thing to do, and that is to thank our sponsors. I would like to thank Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Hers, official snack food of summer. And City Auto Park. You can shop the summer clearance event for sizzling hot discounts, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, City.com. Next week on the program, putting a few things together, they will include guests like Justin Willman, magician / comedian.
Yeah, he's good.
He's excellent. He'll be on the program. And the I Bleed for Preston and Steve Blood Drive, which will be happening on Friday, 1 week from today.
We need you.
Get the details at WMMR.com. Please sign up and be a part of it. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. We'll see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hey, guys. Just wondering why it takes so long to do the Bizarre Files. I can't keep showing up late to work to listen to Bizarre Files, man. 8 o'clock, cutoff line. Come on, guys. Help me out here.
Next message.
Beer.
Next message.
Where's my $10,000 cash for being an essential worker? It's horse $10,000 cash. Everybody has to work through this.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.